All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Thursday morning. That means Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. It's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. It is that time. Every 2 weeks, we talk with Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. And you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print. Lots of TV stuff to talk about with Dan. And that's always a lot of fun to talk with him about TV. And speaking of TV, after we finish talking with Dan, we are going to talk about TV shows that were canceled too soon. And I know that a lot of people have many choices of TV shows that they loved that were canceled too soon. So we're going to open up the phone lines a little bit later on and get your thoughts on that with talk or text. You love the show, but then they cancel it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and you'll get your TV shows, your thoughts about TV shows that were canceled too soon. Today is March 14th, 314. It's Pi Day. So we get some Pi Day stories to talk about. Not just including stories about pie and math, but also about pie that you can eat. We do some book talk as well, and we got a Blackhawks Express that we're going to play back, as we do every morning after a Blackhawks game. So there we go. That's what's coming up on the show. Again, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Get your Triple Play requests in. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. And that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. You should also subscribe to our podcast. It's easy. It's free. If you can't listen live, every second of every show is podcast. You go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. It's free and it'll automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So let's say hello to the people that'll be working with us this morning. Ben Anderson is producing this morning. Hi, Ben.
Good morning. Banana cream. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh, pie?
I'm excited for the pie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I'm a banana cream guy myself. Yeah. We'll get to that a little bit later. I also like savory pies, like with meat and stuff in them. So we can get into that. That's coming up. The Blackhawks didn't have to make it as suspenseful as it ended up being last night.
Oh, man, yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Let's have Arizona games every week.
Five to nothing. And then it ends up being 5-4. And that the final 30 seconds of the game was ridiculous. I thought for sure we were going to go to OT.
Yeah,
I thought for sure, and I'm worried. I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't know what's going on with Crow because he left after the first period.
I'm not sure, and I wasn't in producing this game, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. They just suddenly he wasn't in the net at the beginning of the second period, which concerns me.
Yeah.
So they won. That's the important thing. They got two more points. They're 4 points back. With 12 games left?
I believe
13?
So.
12, 13 games left. It's a ridiculous season. They're playing the Habs on Friday, right?
Saturday.
Wow. Oh, they got a couple of days off then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it was exciting. We'll play it back. Someone's in the booth with you. Why don't you have her introduce herself to everybody?
I can do that.
Why don't you come over and say hello? Jump in.
introduce yourself.
Hi. Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Tell everybody who you are.
Hello, everybody. My name is Vivian Leneux. I'm one of the new producers here at WGN.
And you're just hanging out because you're going to be producing my show next week.
That is true.
Okay. Well, it's nice to meet you, Vivian.
Nice to meet you.
Where are you from?
Greece.
You're from Greece?
Yeah. Well, we're from here, but
yeah.
I lived in Greece as well for
Did you?
Years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can you hear the accent? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's there. It's there. But yeah, that's cool. So you're going to be where you're new. How long have you been here?
A week.
Wow. You're real new.
So wow. Take it easy on me next week.
Oh,
okay?
I will. I love that after they're just throwing you, they're throwing you in the deep end here after a week.
Yep, so, might as well, right?
Yeah, no. Hey, it's gonna be fun.
I know it is.
Okay.
I know it is.
All right, Vivian, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Cool, and she'll be with us next week, producing Tuesday through Friday, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds
good. And hang out, have fun with Ben there.
He'll
He'll show you the ropes.
You got it.
All right, cool. That's Vivian. She's going to be producing the show next week. Now let's go to the newsroom. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah?
I got a little information for you on that Crawford. When he left the game, I did not watch the game, but the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, reports that the coach found out that Crawford was sick during this the second intermission. And, you know, he's quoted as saying, you know, if Crawford says he's not feeling well, he's not feeling well.
Yeah.
So they took him out.
Yeah. Well, what they said on the, because I was listening to the game, Troy and John said was that he had flu-like symptoms and wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, that's what it looks like
I always
in the Tribune.
Yeah, but I always get a little concerned when Crow ends up leaving a game. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, right, with the history of
yeah.
this.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Absolutely. So anyway, but that was really an unnecessarily exciting game. Thanks, Hawks, for giving me a heart attack during the third period. I really appreciate that. But anyway, they won. That's the important thing. They did win.
Four straight.
Two more points, four straight. Looking good. All right. Well, there you go. That's everybody who's here this morning. And we want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. Get your Triple Play Thursday requests in now. Dan Feinberg is going to join us to talk TV. And then we want to talk to all of you guys via text or talk at 312-981-7200. TV shows that you loved, TV shows that were canceled way too soon. And that's what's coming up on the show this morning. So we'll take a break. When we come back, Dan Feinberg joins us to talk TV. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Thursday. We'll get to Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. One artist, three songs. Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number for talk, text, and Triple Play Thursday requests. We're going to talk TV right now with Dan Feinberg, and then after that, we're going to continue some TV talk by talking about TV shows that were canceled too soon, and there are a ton of them. And before we let Dan get out of here, we want to get his thoughts on that, TV shows that were canceled too soon. Today is Pi Day, 314, so we're going to talk about some fun Pi Day-related stories that not only include math, but also include actual pies, like pies that you eat. So we'll get into that and much more. Again, 312-981-7200 for talk and texts for this Thursday morning here on WGN. Dan Feinberg is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print. He's kind enough to join us every couple of weeks to talk TV. And let's get Dan in here. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Nick?
Good. Welcome back. And
now, thank you.
You're not at South by Southwest, are you, or did you go?
No, I am not. If I were, I would be so full on barbecue or Torchy's tacos right now. It would be insane. Instead, I covered a handful of South by Southwest things from the comfort of my couch in Los Angeles, which meant that I didn't need to put on pants, but I didn't get barbecue. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a toss-up.
Exactly. I have a friend, colleague down there who's covering the movie side for us. He did see Jordan Peele's Us and says it is one of the best horror movies he's ever seen. So I'm unbelievably excited to see it. So
Good to hear. I am looking forward to it, and most of what I've heard has been positive. So,
yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my colleague Eric said that he thinks it's a lot, and he really loved Get Out, but he thinks it's a lot better than Get Out. And I was like, wow, okay, that says quite a bit. So, he said also it's also much more violent, much more visceral than Get Out. So.
Excellent.
Yes. So let's get to some of the TV stuff that we need to get to. First thing I have to ask about is Fosse Verdon. I'm so excited for this. I am a massive Bob Fosse fan, and I am a massive fan of the two leads. And I know it doesn't premiere until April 9th, but you have seen a couple of hours of it, correct?
I've seen 2 hours, and because of the wonders of working at an industry trade publication, we made sure we got our review in early. So yes, my review went up yesterday, which is nearly a solid month ahead of premiere.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, tell me about it. I mean, obviously, this is something that people, I think, should be excited about just based upon the cast and what it's about and the trailers.
I'm going to be very interested to see how people who don't love Bob Fosse and who don't have immediate associations with the various movies he's directed, whether it's Sweet Charity or, because thus far the episodes I've seen only focus on sort of more of the earlier stuff, so we haven't gotten up to Lenny or Star 80 or any of that stuff in the episodes I've seen. But I'm curious as to how people are going to respond if they don't know Cabaret shot for shot, if they don't know the choreography of Sweet Charity, if they don't know what Glenn Verdon actually looked and sounded like in Damn Yankees, etc.
Yeah.
So my reaction to the two episodes I've seen is that I enjoyed them because this is a world that I really enjoy, and because Sam Rockwell as Bob Fosse and Michelle Williams as Glenn Verdon are both very, very good. But I don't currently know if it has the same sort of reach that FX has gotten for what also seems like kind of niche-y projects like Feud, Betty and Joan, or the Johnny Versace season of American Crime Story, the Ryan Murphy limited series. Ryan Murphy has nothing to do with this one, and I don't think it's necessarily his absence that causes this to maybe lack the same universality. But I found myself very frequently feeling as if the story it's telling is kind of a familiar anti-hero with the loving woman who patiently stands by him to some degree by his side. And I feel like I want the story to be something more and bigger than that, and it could become that, but I've only seen 2 episodes, and so far it hasn't. So that's sort of where I am on it, is I enjoyed watching these episodes totally. I had Cabaret, half a dozen songs from it stuck in my head for a month after we saw one episode of Press Tour, and then for another 2 days since I watched the 2 episodes again this week. So I'm in for this one. I'm just curious if people who aren't predisposed to the subject matter are going to be as engaged.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, because I am predisposed. So like in a big way. So I'm just very excited about it, but I can't wait till they get to, you know, how far does this go? Does it go into Fosse's life? How far does it go?
The interesting thing about the way the story is told is that it's very much jumping around in chronology. So the first episode features some of the time between Sweet Charity and the beginning of production on Cabaret, while also intercutting with the circumstances at the end of Bob Fosse's life. So it's going to cover all the material, but then the second episode jumps back in time to how Fosse and Verdon met in the first place.
Oh, okay.
So I think that with 6 additional episodes that I haven't seen, I think it's going to cover a goodly portion of both of their lives. As of now, the focus in the first 2 episodes really is more on Fosse. I don't think it negates Glenn Verdon's contribution, and I think she's probably significantly less known among, I don't want to say film Twitter, but, you know, the sort of the intelligentsia, I think maybe, I don't want to say she's been lost, but her contributions were always primarily on Broadway, whereas Fosse has both his Broadway background, but also is an Oscar-winning director of movies. So he sort of has the bridging of those two worlds, and maybe her legacy is a little bit less well-known because she was less of a movie presence. But I think this will, at least to some degree, show how important she was in what was really very much a collaboration, or so this argues, was very much a collaboration. So I think that should be interesting. I'm really curious to see more episodes. I would have loved to have had more episodes to review, but you know, we're slaves to what's available to us.
Exactly. Well, I'm just curious to see, you know, I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time is All That Jazz. And I'm just curious to see how they handle that, if they cover that within, you know, within this film, or within this show.
I can't imagine they're going to ignore it, but I kind of love the layers of meta-text that would be required to do a mini-series about a director making a movie effectively about himself. It feels like it's a lot of layers. And I haven't seen All That Jazz in about 20 years. It's been since college, and I really had hoped to rewatch All That Jazz before writing my review, but the screeners came out quickly, and there was an embargo that was 18 hours away, and there just wasn't the time. But I think I might go back now and rewatch it, because I really loved it 20 years ago.
Let me tell you something. It holds up, Dan. It completely holds up. It is really, truly one of my favorite movies of all time, so I'm excited. I'm excited to see this. And now you mentioned, Ryan, it didn't have anything to do with this. Who are the creative people behind it, the directors, writers, that kind of stuff?
The writer is Steve Levinson, who won a Tony for Dear Evan Hansen. And he is the primary writer, but not the only writer. Joel Weisberg, who was one of the two showrunners on The Americans, joined the writing staff around mid-season after The Americans ended, basically. And he is also an executive producer. Lin-Manuel Miranda is an executive producer, and he's an executive producer because the director of five of the episodes is Thomas Kail, who directed Hamilton on Broadway. Okay. So it's a very good, very strong creative team, and the production values are fantastic. But again, the production values kind of require that you know what the Kit Kat Club looked like, every corner of it, and you have to be like, okay, now I know why he's shooting from that corner, and because I know what the shot's going to look like in the actual movie, and I know how this is all going to cut together, and I'm totally engaged for that. I just wonder if it's a little bit insular. I wonder if it's a little bit insular that if you don't know that Evan Handler is playing Hal Prince, what does that mean? Do you look at it and it's just, who is that guy? You know, if you don't know that Nate Corddry is playing Neil Simon, does it matter? Is there a character there, or is it just a look? It's Neil Simon.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, because it does feel like it could have a more limited audience/impact than a lot of the other FX miniseries is recently. But I think we will definitely be talking about Sam Rockwell and Michelle Williams come any time, I would assume.
Oh, I have no doubt. I haven't even seen it, and I have no doubt. they did some of that in Feud. You know, where people would actors would pop up playing, you know, like other actors or directors and things like that. And that was kind of fun to, you know, if you knew, you know, who these people were, or the background between them, it was kind of fun to see the actors pop up and do that. So I'm kind of looking forward to being a smartass while watching Fosse.
Oh, there was a ton of that in Feud, and like my favorite episode of Feud was the Oscars episode, which is all that, you know. It's a solid 55 minutes of, oh, haha, that person's being Gregory Peck, haha, that person's being that. I know exactly what the speech is going to be. Hee-hee, it's all great fun.
Right.
But I wonder if you could have gotten away with doing that episode as a first episode, or if you get away with it because the two characters were so well established and richly realized before then. I'm curious. I think it's good. I kind of wanted to love it a bit more, as opposed to just being really kind of excited by the fun of it.
Okay. All right, Dan, hang on. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Dan Feinberg is with us, and that is Fosse Verdon, about Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon with Michelle Williams and Sam Rockwell. It's going to be on FX, and it premieres on April 9th, and I'm very excited about it. But we have to take a break here for the news, so we will do that. When we come back, Dan Feinberg will join us more to talk about TV. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at TheFineprint, F-I-E-N. More TV talk after. Welcome back. How's everybody doing this morning? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. We're talking TV with Dan Feinberg, and then we're going to continue to talk more TV afterwards. And we want to hear from all of you about TV shows that you loved, the TV shows that were canceled too soon. It's Pi Day, so we're going to talk about some Pi Day stories as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. It's also Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in. That's one artist, three songs. Get them in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Every 2 weeks, Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, joins me, and we talk about television. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And let's get Dan back in here to talk more TV. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
So you wrote a piece. Let's talk a little bit about Luke Perry. Very, very sad and shocking death of Luke Perry. But you wrote a piece about him. Tell me about the piece that you wrote about Luke Perry.
Just, I feel like definitely a lot of people my age, our age, had a lot of thinking to do about mortality and legacy last week when Luke Perry died. And in my article appreciation, I tried kind of tying it into the fact that I feel like younger viewers don't have a perspective on what the TV landscape looked like in 1989, 1990, and what Fox meant.
Yeah.
And what it meant for a network to try to be coming on as the young person's network, as being different from the big three. And what Beverly Hills 90210 meant to that brand as, okay, here's the cool show. Here's the show that's breaking all the soap opera rules. Here's the show that the kids are going to love. And then within the context of a show that was about all of these cool kids who practically seem to be selected out of nowhere to be on magazine covers and to be on posters on people's walls, how from the very first moment he appeared on screen, Dylan McKay, Luke Perry, he was cooler than all the rest of them, and it was so effortless. And it wasn't just that he looked kind of like James Dean and that he was doing James Dean affectations. He really was the teen heartthrob to very briefly end all teen heartthrobs. Mm-hmm. And, he shaped a lot of people's perceptions of what coolness was, and it's hard for people to think about that today, given the strange, fragmented audience where a show like Riverdale, which Luke Perry also starred on as now the older generation of cool, how that's a show that draws around 1 million viewers actually on TV, and Beverly Hills 90210 drew 20 times that, and over years it accumulated an audience that was huge. And this was a man who at any given time could have gotten sick about talking about how he was a teen idol, and he never did. To all reports, he was a wonderfully gracious and accommodating and nurturing actor.
Thanks,
on Patty. Every project
good
he
morning,
worked on after.
Go ahead.
And, good people wanted to work with him. You look at John from Cincinnati, from David Milch. You look at Oz from Tom Fontana.
Yeah, yeah.
People wanted to work with him, not just because he had once been a teen idol, but because the actor he matured into as he moved along was a very good, very solid actor who added things to projects. And so, 52 is just too young.
Absolutely. No, I'm 53, and I was just like, what? It was shocking to me and sad. And I had the pleasure of meeting Luke Perry twice, and he could not have been nicer. He could not have been more gracious. And he was funny. And I knew him through, I met him through John McNaughton, because I know John. And for those people who might not know, John McNaughton directed Luke Perry in what I think is the best performance that Luke Perry's ever given, and I think it's the best performance that Ashley Judd's ever given in a movie called Normal Life, which is an absolutely underseen gem. And I'm not saying that because it was shot here in Chicago and that I know, John McNaughton. Have you seen Normal Life, Dan?
I have, and honestly, not for
again, another movie I haven't seen in 20, 25 years. And it's actually rather stunning to me that I didn't think of it at all when I was, I mean, I guess obviously I was focusing on TV
and all of that.
But even still, yes, that's a very, very good performance in a very solid project.
And he was absolutely terrific in it. I mean, it was a great, great performance. And I thought he was great on Oz. I'm one of the few people who actually really enjoyed John from Cincinnati. And I was never a 90210 viewer. I did see it every once in a while, but his impact and the impact of that show and what you said about Fox, is right on the nose. I mean, that was just the zeitgeist at that time. It was massive. And I don't think a lot of people who were around or were very, very, very young during that time period realized the impact that that show, that Fox, and that the entire cast, especially Luke Perry, made on youth. It's massive.
Yeah, we were in the middle of a sort of changing cultural moment at that time, and instead of necessarily being able to take a step back and outside of the moment and recognize the culture as Fox was shaping it, it was mostly easy to sort of go, man, The Simpsons is awesome, man, Married with Children is ridiculous or awesome or awful, depending on your perspective. But when you actually reflect on it and reflect on what a groundswell that was in that moment. And, you know, people, we add new television services and drop them and they come and they go and now no one cares. That was massive in that moment when things were getting away from CBS, ABC, and NBC being the only game in town. Yeah. And so for Luke Perry to die so suddenly and so sadly, as Fox, as that entity, is ceasing to exist also. It's, you know, Fox is becoming something different, and I don't think we know what Fox is. Whatever it is, it's not the cool young kids network anymore. It's about to become some other thing. And so it really is, it's very much a line in the sand as an end of an era.
Yeah.
And so sad that it should have to happen in this way, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so everybody can read it in your critic's notebook if they follow you on the fine print piece about Luke Perry and that generation and how big it was. It's interesting, you know, when Luke Perry passed away, when he had the stroke, that also shocked a lot of people. You know what I mean? 52 years old and has a stroke, that was shocking and people were very upset about it. But when he passed away, I don't know about your news feed, but there a lot of people were really, really affected by Luke Perry's death last week, and posted really heartfelt. I mean, I can't tell you the number of posts on my social media news feeds that were about people being unbelievably sad about the death of Luke Perry. Not just because he was young, which is sad in and of itself, but because of the effect that that character and that actor had on a huge portion of people who use the social media. It was unbelievable.
It's who's on Twitter and Facebook is kind of the generations that would have been affected by it. And yeah, as another thing I talked about in my column is that, yes, Luke Perry was doing a James Dean thing at the time, but we never got to see James Dean age. And that was obviously the great tragedy of James Dean is that his life was cut short immediately.
Yeah.
And he was always permanently encapsulated as this rebel without a cause young guy. The only way we ever got to see him grow old was in Giants when the makeup is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it's a thing that we now chuckle at. But we did actually get to watch Luke Perry go from being a sort of teen, not really teen, but 20-something teen idol.
Yeah.
And we got to watch him grow up. And the brilliant thing that Riverdale did in bringing all of those actors with young associations over as the adult characters on a new teen soap opera was a really impressive thing that show did. And I don't think there are that many things that Riverdale does that are that brilliant or impressive. But that was a good thing that show did, and it allowed him to touch a younger audience and to expand the audience that appreciated him for what he could bring to a show.
Yeah. And, you know, the now has anybody said, has anybody from Riverdale commented on what they're going to do about his character? Or was there a through line that Luke Perry is still in on the show?
There are definitely plot lines that the character still is kind of not immediately central to, but very closely tied to it. And he, I couldn't watch last week's episode for a few days. I just couldn't get my mind around it. And he was only in one scene in last week's episode, and it was brief, but the episode was dedicated to him. And they said that they're going to dedicate the rest of the run of the show to him. And, you know, makes sense. But, you know, Riverdale is a show that does have the sort of ability when it wants to be serious. They, you know, they've had characters on the show die and be mourned, and this obviously wouldn't be the same thing, but it's the kind of thing where tonally, if they decided they wanted to have that character pass and have the other characters honor him in whatever sincere way they wanted to, Riverdale's the kind of show that could actually encompass and handle that kind of tonal shift, and it might even be handled well, possibly. I'm kind of curious to see what they do with it, because they obviously had so much affection for him and for all of the older generation of actors who kind of anchored the drama on that show. I assume they want to do right by Luke Perry's memory and by the character, and I'm curious to see how they will handle it.
Okay. All right. And for you and for everybody listening, I know it's a very difficult movie to find, but you have to see Normal Life. And Dan, you should catch up on it again, because it's a pretty remarkable movie.
Who's got the time to rewatch movies, even great movies, Nick?
All right. That's true.
Too much TV.
Too much TV. Hang on. Okay, Dan?
Sure.
All right. Dan Feinberg is with us. Nice piece about Luke Perry that you can check out. Just follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. We'll break. We come back. More TV talk with Dan after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on 720 WGN. It's Thursday, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. It's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about TV shows that got canceled too soon. Before Dan Feinberg gets out of here, I want to pick his brain on that one. I'm sure he's got several shows that he would like to mention in that category. And I want to hear from you guys, too, about TV shows that were canceled too soon. And it's Pi Day, so we've got some fun Pi Day stories, some involving math and some involving actual pies that you eat. That's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And as I mentioned, Dan Feinberg is with us, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. He joins us every two weeks to talk TV. And let's bring Dan back. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, and I have a good answer for when you get around to asking me about TV shows canceled too soon. A good and timely answer, so
okay.
Make sure you don't forget.
I won't forget. Trust me, I won't forget. And, you know, I looked up that topic, I Googled it, and there are a couple of really fun articles with a lot of shows. Like, people really, like a lot of people who write on the internet have embraced some shows that I barely remember. That people are, you know, like that show went away too soon and that show went away too soon. I always have the first one, and I'll tell you when we get, you know, a little bit later before we get out of here. The first one that always pops into my mind when I think about shows, that were canceled too soon, I'll tell you what it is, but it never, you know, I have several TV shows that I thought were canceled too soon. There's always one, the top one, and I'll tell you what it is later on. But there's always that one, another reason why I'm bringing this up, Dan, is because HBO canceled Crashing, and I love that show, and I was just so sad when I heard that, because the show just keeps getting better, like every episode gets better and funnier and richer, you know, and Pete Holmes has really found his way around, not just being a guy playing, you know, a pathetic stand-up, but he's developed into a really interesting and really likable character. And it's loaded with great cameos. It's a terrific show. And I don't know. And then I was just disappointed that HBO canceled it. So,
well, rest assured that when the news broke, you were the first person I thought of. And that's at least in part because you might be the only person I know who was watching it regularly. Yeah, right. Also because I know of how big a fan you were of that show. So I sort of poured one out on your behalf when I saw that. And,
thank you,
maybe... And maybe someday I will catch up on that show, you know, again, as I like to say, when I got my free time.
I got you. All right. Well, all right. One of my favorite people on the planet is Ricky Gervais, and he's got a new Netflix show called Afterlife. He's been doing the talk show circuit, advertising it, so I've seen a couple of clips. I have not watched it yet on the Netflix. So tell me about Afterlife. I'm a huge fan of Ricky Gervais.
I guess my first question is, what are your feelings about Ricky Gervais when he's in sentimental mode?
Don't like him as much, but I still like him. Like, I thought there were episodes of Derek that I thought were a little too much, but overall it hooked me. I still was committed to it.
Oh, there were episodes of Derek that made me physically uncomfortable with their degree of sort of sentimentality. And I appreciated Derek because I appreciated his commitment to the weird thing he was doing, but man, Derek irked me at times. And so I went into Afterlife with, I would say, trepidations. The plot, for folks who don't know, is it's basically the story of a guy whose wife of 25 years dies, and he decides he no longer cares about social niceties because he has no reason to live, and so he starts being rude to some people, but not really that many people. And he also still takes very good care of his dog. That's how you know he's not really a lost cause. And so, the question is, will his dead wife allow him to somehow become a better man? And if you think the answer to that question is no, you have never watched a TV show before. I apologize for anyone for whom I just spoiled that particular quote-unquote twist. For five episodes of Afterlife, I was fairly tolerant. The last episode is every bit as sentimental and irksome as I was worried the entire show might be. But I totally understand how, if you're caught up in the emotion of the show up to that point, you might buy the sixth episode. So that is what I'll say. I think that the show has funny moments. It's got a pretty solid cast of people, including Ashley Jensen, who obviously worked with Ricky Gervais on Extras.
Yeah.
David Bradley, who of course was in The Strain and Game of Thrones and many, many other things. And it has some funny moments. It has some moments where I feel like Ricky Gervais is actually playing just straight up serious and not playing sentimentally serious, and I think he's a perfectly fine actor, actually, in those moments. I just don't know that he, as a writer and director, always has the strongest grasp on how to restrain himself, I guess. And so there's a lot of stacking the deck. You know, he might be an awful person, but he's kind to his dog. He's kind to his little nephew. It's a show in which 98% of the cast is the white, but the one minority character, he's polite to her. He basically is cruel and scathing, mostly to kind of husky bearded guys.
Okay.
So basically the only people he's being cruel to are people who are basically him, and so that way you know that really and truly he hasn't become a cruel and hostile person. He's simply become a person who hates himself and no longer wants to keep living. Mm-hmm. So I thought the deck was stacked way too much to be honest drama, but I know some people who have been moved by the show, so it's possible that if you have a bigger heart than I do, you know, you might buy in.
Is Gervais just now exclusively working with Netflix? Is that the deal now?
I think that's where he's comfortable at this moment, and I think that's clearly where they're not putting any particular restraints on him. And I think that he is definitely an actor, writer, director who appreciates not being restrained in any particular way, and I don't know that that's really necessarily the best thing for him. I think probably everyone could benefit from a little structure, and I think he is no exception. But yeah, I think he's comfortable at Netflix, and also Netflix employs everybody. They'll employ you. They'll employ me.
Right.
Give it enough time. They'll employ us all.
Right. Did you see the sketch they did a few weeks ago on SNL? Where people were just pitching the stupidest ideas to Netflix, and they just literally were throwing money at them. Did you see?
I did see it, and it's. I don't want to say it's wholly true, but it's close enough to true. But you know, on the other hand, the great thing about Netflix is they got all these things that are heavily hyped. And then last Saturday night, I just got sick of doing things for work, and I let. Did Netflix algorithm steer me to a little Irish comedy called Dairy Girls?
I love that
it's
show.
Fantastic. It's fantastic.
I love it.
So what are you going to say? Thanks, Netflix. You know, sometimes you do awful things and you annoy me, but you told me to watch Dairy Girls, and I watched Dairy Girls, and Dairy Girls is tremendous.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yay.
There you go. So, all right. So Afterlife, which is available now, it's streaming now on Netflix. And I'm assuming that Gervais wrote and directed every episode, correct?
Yes, all six episodes. And, you know, even if you hate the show, like Dairy Girls, it is six episodes, under 30 minutes each. Boy, it's gone in a hurry.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll get that done. Then I'll get that done this weekend for sure. I can get that.
Easy.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. All right. You know, the CBS All Access thing, how's that going? Before we break here, is it are people subscribing to it? Have they put out any numbers? Has CBS talked about it at all?
No, they don't do numbers either. They're basically what they're doing is they're building out the library, and presumably the fact that they keep greenlighting new shows means that they see a reason to do it. But they've obviously got Star Trek Discovery and then a number of other different Star Trek related projects. They know they can get people with that. Then Twilight Zone coming in a couple weeks. So, you know, at a certain point, it ceases to be one of those, do I really want to subscribe to something for just one show? I think they're getting very close to the point at which they have enough shows that it could actually be worthwhile, especially with one of the best shows on TV, The Good Fight, returning this week.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to jump into The Good Fight, and you've season three, and you've seen it, and we want to talk about that. But I was just curious as to see, you know, how successful that CBS All Access is, and I think they might get me. I think they might get me with the Twilight Zone. I think that's
everyone's got a tipping point, and yeah. So you just have to know what yours is.
Yeah, and that's going to be an unbelievable weekend for Jordan Peele because it premieres like right when Us comes out. It's going to be a pretty good weekend for Jordan. But it's been a pretty good couple of years for Jordan Peele, actually. So
he's doing fine.
Yeah, he is. He's totally doing fine. Okay, Dan, hang on. Okay, when we come back, we'll hear your review of The Good Fight season three. Okay.
Excellent.
Great. Dan Feinberg is with us. He's a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print. He joins us every 2 weeks to talk TV. We'll get his review of The Good Fight Season 3, and we'll also talk about a couple of more reviews that he did. And before he gets out of here, we'll talk about his TV shows that were canceled too soon before we jump in and open up the phone lines for you guys to do that. We got a break here for the news. When we come back, more with Dan Feinberg right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's a Thursday morning. Happy Thursday morning. Triple Play Thursday is going to commence in a little bit, so get your requests in now. That's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. For Triple Play Thursday, we are going to talk about TV shows that were canceled too soon, and I know sure that you have a ton of those shows that you love that just got canceled too soon, and I have a bunch, and I've read an article that has like a ton as well, and we'll remember some of those. It's also Pi Day, so we're going to do some pie stories that include math and pies that you actually eat. So, and then we might get into some book talk as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Dan Feinberg is my guest, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. He joins me every 2 weeks to talk TV. And again, you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And let's welcome Dan back to the show. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, before the break, we were talking about CBS All Access, you watched season 3 of The Good Fight, which is now, is it available now or this week or sometime?
It is available at some point on Thursday, yes. I don't know exactly when CBS All Access shows magically go live.
It'll be available then sometime today or tonight.
And that's one of those shows that goes weekly.
Oh, it's weekly.
I've only seen four episodes of the new season. So,
okay.
But yes,
it's
a regular old-fashioned weekly show, only streaming.
All right. Well, tell us about The Good Fight for people who might not know. It's a Good Wife spinoff, correct?
It is indeed a Good Wife spinoff, and I was telling a number of coworkers yesterday, I think that The Good Fight is a better show than most of the run of The Good Wife was. Not all of it. The Good Wife had some very, very high peaks, but I think that as a rule, The Good Fight is a better show, and you don't need to have watched The Good Wife to get it. You can just hop right in. Honestly, you could hop in at the start of season 2 of The Good Fight.
Mm-hmm.
Probably you want to start at the top of season 1 if you're like me, but the series continues to focus on Christine Baranski's character, and it is a scathing black political satire, black comedy satire about law and politics and kind of Chicago, but they shoot in New York, or really they mostly shoot on sound stages. It's not a show that that gets out very often. The Good Wife was also not a show that got out in Chicago very often. They
right.
might as well have been New York City. It is a smart show. It's an extremely funny show. I think that it really and truly is a comedy. I think it is a dark, dark comedy, and much more than The Good Wife ever was, though it was also a funny show at its best, but it was also very soapy, very political, etc. This is very funny, and the new season is super. It remains probably a little bit too obsessed with Donald Trump, because the main character was a Hillary supporter going back to her time on The Good Wife, and the premiere of the series was basically the 2016 election kind of breaking the character, and that's continued to be the case. And so this season finds her delving into the resistance underground, and it's just it's a fantastic cast top to bottom. So the cast also features Delroy Lindo, Audra McDonald, Rose Leslie from Game of Thrones, a number of people who randomly pop up here and there, also from The Good Wife. The new season adds Michael Sheen to the cast, and he is giving one of the most over-the-top operatic performances I've ever seen before on a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And the ridiculous thing is that The Good Fight is a show that can encompass a performance like that, because it really is such a big, outsized show that somebody can come in and just utterly devour the scenery. In my review, I compared the performance to somebody, a director standing on the side watching Al Pacino do his Scent of the Woman performance and going, okay, that's good, now bigger, bigger, bigger. And it's remarkable to watch. And I think it is so committed and crazed. I would love to see Michael Sheen get an Emmy nomination or an Emmy win for the performance. It's otherworldly, the
wow.
performance. But it really does, it fits in. It's the kind of performance that no other show could fit in. Like, you know, maybe you could have a character like that on something like Billions, which is also a kind of inherently over-the-top show. But I think he'd even look too big on Billions, and I loved watching just how untethered and unleashed Michael Sheen was getting to be. So, I think it's a very funny show. I think it's a very smart show. I think if it were on CBS, it would be much more in the conversation for awards. I think it gets a little bit lost on CBS All Access. I think people don't have, you know, ironically enough, they don't have access to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know even where they could get CBS All Access. But it is really a show worth checking out, because CBS All Access doesn't do 22 episode seasons. There are fewer episodes, and so it's relatively easy to catch up on. The episodes are a little bit longer. They're in the 50 to 55 minute range. But it's a show that takes full advantage of the lack of structure that, you know, isn't being imposed by CBS. They swear, they have occasional nudity, and they let people chew scenery like crazy. I really enjoy The Good Fight. I think it's a fun show to watch, and it's impressive to have a show that is as fun to watch that's also as tied in to the headlines on the news that are themselves usually not so fun to watch.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to process
the
world events.
At some point today or tonight, The Good Fight Season 3, the first episode, will be streaming on CBS All Access. And Dan really likes it a lot. Boy, that explanation of Michael Sheen's performance alone makes me want to watch it.
I wonder if he would take that as a compliment or not, because I mean it as a compliment. I have to assume that he knows that this is a crazy thing he got to do, and I think he would appreciate what I'm saying about the performance, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, all right. So let's talk real quick about we got the season finale tonight of Top Chef, and now have you caught up?
I am all caught up. I was less surprised by last week's result than you were.
I was.
But the way I look at it is, there was a task. They were asked to do something specific, and the person who was eliminated, not to spoil anything, was the person who didn't follow the instructions.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I liked that person, though. That was what my problem with this season is that I like everybody. I think, though, in the finale, I am rooting for. I believe I'm going to be rooting tonight. Well, I'll watch it tomorrow morning, but I think I'll be rooting for Eric. I think Eric has made the best food and put himself into it, and of course, his story is really moving and interesting, and I like him too. But I like all three of the. I like all three of the remaining chefs. I really do, and I don't think that's ever happened in all the years. You know, the 16 years I've been watching Top Chef. I don't think that's ever happened.
It is definitely a good and likable group. I think I was rooting for Justin, and then he went home. I think going into the finale, is Kelsey the blonde?
Yes.
Yes, that's who I'm rooting for. I think she is. I think she's very funny, and I think she's coming into her own at exactly the right time.
I agree. I agree completely. I agree. But see, that's the thing. I like all three. I like Sarah, too. whoever wins Top Chef tonight, I'll be like, okay, that's good.
I don't know, Nick. A vote for Sarah is a vote for boxed waffles.
That's
all I'm saying.
Okay, boy, that was a tense episode. There.
It was.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time, so I got to get your thoughts on TV shows that were canceled too soon. You said you had one immediately. What are some of the TV shows that you think were canceled too soon?
Well, the one that I want to single out, because I'm afraid that no one else is going to mention it if you open the lines, and it's appropriate because Friday marks the 10th anniversary of the premiere of NBC's Kings.
Oh,
And Kings is, to me, this golden example of a moment when network programming was capable of being ambitious. And you look at network programming at this point, especially when it comes to drama, and there is no ambition to anything happening on broadcast TV and drama. Kings was this gigantic world-building show, kind of book based on the story of David and Goliath and David's ascension to the throne, set in a speculative fiction alternate reality in which a character played by Ian McShane is the king. unreal cast led by Ian McShane, but you know, you've got scenes with Ian McShane and Dylan Baker, Ian McShane and Brian Cox going head to head. Just this incredibly complicated, in-depth, spiritually rich drama that for some reason NBC thought audiences might watch, and they did not watch. But there is a first season of this show that exists in its totality on DVD, and it stands as evidence of a moment of ambition.
Wow.
And I understand completely why the show failed, but I'm still giddy that the show got to exist at all.
Wow.
And so that is my answer that I don't know if anyone else is going to bring up. So that is, you know, there are other great answers. So what is your first one that comes up? Because I know what comes up first usually. So what's
it's
yours?
Wonderfalls is the first one. Actually, you know, I mean, if I could mention another show by the same guy, Pushing Daisies is another show that I thought should have, and I'll even go Hannibal. I can't believe Hannibal got a third season, but I was upset when it was done after three. So I guess anything Brian Fuller's name is on, I chose. But the very first one that pops into my head every time is Wonderfalls. I adore that show. And I was so angry that they canceled it mid, you know, like only with like, I think, four episodes left. But then they finally did release the entire season on DVD, and I love that show.
And that's another one where I agree completely. I love Wonderfalls. But there is the first season that exists on DVD. You can watch it. You can watch the episodes in their intended order, which was not how Fox told them.
Yep.
And you can also completely and totally, as you watch it, understand why no one watched that show.
Exactly. Yeah. And Caroline DiVerna is, I just adore her. And I think that role for her was really amazing. And so that's always my first, I have many, but that's always, Wonderfalls is always my first one. So that's my
On days that weren't this week with the 10th anniversary of Kings coming up, and I'm going to write something for Friday about it because you've already heard what my thesis is.
Right.
Otherwise, Freaks and Geeks is the easiest and first answer. And that's one where you look at the cast of that thing and you don't necessarily understand how no one watched it, but that's a lot of hindsight there.
And I think that's going to be brought, I think Freaks and Geeks and both Undeclared will be brought up many times during this conversation. That would be my guess.
As they should be. Both are great shows, but also in both cases, they do, once again, exist in wonderful DVD sets. I mean, all hail physical media, so don't let anyone tell you that physical media is dead. If you've ever seen the DVD sets for those two shows, they are arguments for physical media.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Dan, always a pleasure. Thanks for contributing that, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Till next time.
All right, see you there. Dan Feinberg, everybody, a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. We're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines, text lines are open. We want to hear from you. What TV shows were canceled too soon, in your opinion? We'll talk about a bunch of those right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Nick DiGilio, that's me, and Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And I'll actually be hanging out on the Steve Cochran Show for my weekly Thursday visit right around 6:20. I'll be hanging out with the Cochran gang, previewing some of the movies that are coming out this weekend and talking about other entertainment stuff. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We just talked about it with Dan, TV shows that got canceled way too soon. That's the topic, and there are so many to talk about, and then we can just like reminisce about some of our favorite shows that got yanked by the networks. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Get your calls in now, and we'll jump into that topic. I also want to mention really quickly that my next film club, the tickets are on sale. For my next film club, they just went on sale. My next film club event is Alfred Hitchcock's The Man Who Knew Too Much with Jimmy Stewart. We did Mr. Smith Goes to Washington last month, so we're following up with another Jimmy Stewart movie, but this time working with one of the greatest directors of all time, and Alfred Hitchcock, and we're going to do an Alfred Hitchcock movie in May as well. So we're doing back-to-back Jimmy Stewart slash back-to-back Alfred Hitchcock movies. But The Man Who Knew Too Much is going to be on April 9th, Tuesday, April 9th, at 8 o'clock at the AMC Rosemont 18. If you've never seen it on the big screen, if you've never seen it before, it's one of Hitchcock's best collaborations with Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart's great in it. Doris Day is in it. It's just a really, really great, quintessential, classic Alfred Hitchcock film with a great performance by Jimmy Stewart. And I'm so excited to show it and so excited to have it on the big screen. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movie Co. Very easy to get to. It's right off the expressway there. And if you don't want to drive, if you don't have to, you can just take the blue line straight out, get off at the Rosemont stop, and it's a 5-minute walk to the AMC Rosemont 18 to see one of the classic Alfred Hitchcocks of all time, The Man Who Knew Too Much. Very excited to show that one. And beforehand, you should stop over at the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant, which we've partnered up with these guys now. And, you have some dinner over there before the movie, and they're going to give you a 15% discount on all the food. So, and it's a really great deal. The food is great. The service is great. It's a really fun place. And they're giving you 15% off. All you got to do is say, hey, I'm with the Nick DiGilio Film Club. Show your ticket or your ticket stub or proof that you're going to see The Man Who Knew Too Much. And they will give you a 15% discount on all of your food. So, get your seats reserved right now, and they'll be waiting for you on Tuesday, April 9th. So, again, check it out at amctheaters.com. The tickets went on sale, day before yesterday. And so they're out there now, and you can check them out, right now and pick the seats that you want, and they'll be waiting for you on Tuesday, April 9th for The Man Who Knew Too Much, Alfred Hitchcock's classic with Jimmy Stewart and Doris Day. So on the big screen, very rarely do you get a chance. It starts at 8 o'clock, and I'll introduce the movie, and then afterwards I host like a Q&A and a movie discussion where we talk about the movie and I give you some facts about the making of the film and all of that very cool stuff. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in. We're talking about TV shows that got canceled too soon. And we want to hear what your thoughts are on some of the shows that you really missed that got canceled too soon. That's what the topic is. But again, come out and see The Man Who Knew Too Much on the big screen. It's going to be a real special night. Very rarely you get a chance to see this classic Alfred Hitchcock movie in color on the big screen. So again, amctheaters.com. Tickets are on sale right now. amctheaters.com. And it's $10 to get in. Parking is free. So we'll see you on April 9th. Normally we do it on the first Tuesday of each month. That's, you know, I've been doing this now since 2011. This is our 8th year. We've been doing this thing now for 8 years. You know, we do it every month. It's usually the first Tuesday of each month, but the first Tuesday of this month of April happens to be the night of the runoff election. So we don't want to compete with an election on Election Day. So we pushed it up to April 9th. So April 9th, Man Who Knew Too Much on the big screen. And I hope you all can make it. All right. We got a bunch of people who are calling in right now. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can text in your thoughts. We got a bunch of texts already. And I knew people would, because a lot of people get emotionally attached or feel very strongly about certain TV shows. And when they're taken away from them, they get very upset. And that's happened to me. I have several examples of that. And I know you do too, considering how the phones are all lit up right now and the texts are flying in. I knew this would be a fun topic to talk about, and we can reminisce on why we love some of those older shows. But yeah, it's 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. And like I said, the first one that always pops into my head, I got a bunch of them. The first one that always pops into my head is Wonder Falls, which was this really wonderful, fantasy show with Caroline DiVerna as a girl who worked in a souvenir shop right outside of Niagara Falls, and she begins having conversations with inanimate objects that start telling her to do certain things for other people. And it was a terrific show. They cut it. There were 4 episodes left, and then Fox, of course, in all its infinite wisdom, canceled it. And I kind of went nuts, and I had a campaign on my show at the time to get the DVD release so that we can see those last 4 episodes, because it was so frustrating to watch the show every week. And then suddenly Fox goes, yeah, it's not on anymore. So I had a, I had a petition that I had people sign. We had a bunch of people sign the petition. We sent it off to Fox. I don't know if we had anything to do with the fact that it did indeed get released on DVD, all 12 or 13 episodes, whatever it is. I had Caroline DeVerna, the star of the show, on. I had Brian Fuller on. I was fully supportive of the show, and when it was canceled, I was really upset. So the first one that pops up on shows that were canceled too soon is a show that I really adored, and it's called Wonder Falls. And if you've never seen it, the whole season, only one season, is available on DVD, and I highly recommend that you check it out. Really funny, really charming, really weird, and really original. And it's a great show, and it should have been on for many more seasons to come. So that was my first example, and we got a ton of people calling in and a bunch of examples of other TV shows that were canceled too soon, which we'll jump into right after we go to the news, which is after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. I forgot to acknowledge the last request. Who is a Bananarama fan?
Ike from Country Club Hills.
Okay, Bananarama fan. Now, you know that first song, Cruel Summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that came from?
No.
Karate Kid.
Yeah.
It's in the original Karate Kid.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. So Bananarama is our Triple Play Thursday. That's one artist, three songs. Get your requests in now at 312-981-7200. And we've got the phone lines are all jammed up right now because people love their TV. And when they take their TV away, people get very upset. And I fit right into that category. There have been some TV shows that I really love that got yanked. You know, there have been a lot of them. So I've got an article here that details a bunch of them, and we've got some text coming in, and the phone lines are all kind of lit up right now. And if you would like to join the conversation, and we want you to, it's going to be fun, talking about some of these old TV shows that you love that got canceled too soon, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Let me go through some text, and we'll get to the phones. 708 area code said, canceled too soon, Freaks and Geeks, we mentioned that one. 847 area code, the TV show that I think was canceled too soon was Hot in Cleveland. That seemed to be on for a few seasons. I never really watched it. 404 area code says the obvious choices are Freaks and Geeks and Firefly. Oh, yeah, Firefly. We'll probably get a lot of people talking about Firefly this morning, but at least we did get a movie out of it. So they did make a movie to wrap things up a little bit. But Firefly was a great show. It was a great show. But my favorites were canceled too early were the George Carlin Show and, of course, Sledgehammer. Sledgehammer. Lee in Rockford says Topper. What if Topper was on for a while? 815 area code says, I missed the TV show Boss that starred Kelsey Grammer as the mayor of Chicago who was suffering from a brain disorder. The show was fantastic. That was a great show. That was a terrific show. 773 area codes, even though it followed the same format as Law and Order, I think Chicago Justice was canceled way too soon. That's Glenn. 773 area code, I agree with you guys. Kings, which I never saw, and which Dan spoke very passionately about. Dan Feinberg spoke very passionately about Kings. And you can read his piece on the 10th anniversary coming up in a few days. And Pushing Daisies. Pushing Daisies was such a great show. With Lee Pace, Kristen Chenoweth. That was such an imaginative and such a terrific show. Again, it only lasted a season and a half. 773 area code, Southland, and it ended at a horrible time. See, Southland, I can't remember, but it got canceled on one network and was picked up by another. 779 area code, Monty Python's Flying Circus. That was a show that was on for a while, and the BBC didn't cancel it. A lot of the cast members were leaving to do other stuff, and they just essentially Python broke up. So it wasn't like the BBC or the network canceled the show. That show ran its course. All right. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200. Ben, do you have one that pops into your head?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Psych.
Psych. That was on for a long time, though.
It was eight seasons, but it still ended.
That's eight seasons,
soon.
Man.
It's so good.
I know, but I'm talking about, okay, I mean, right, eight right, seasons, right. Okay, and I know I'm a just, lot of people, yeah. If they're on for, if a show's on a long time and you love it, and they take it away, you still get upset. I totally understand that. But yeah, that was a good run, though. Come on, man, 8 seasons is a good run.
Yeah, it is.
Wonder Falls was a half season.
I'm just, you know, I was broken up just because
I understand
it ended the same season as How I Met Your Mother. So my two favorite shows ended at the same time.
And How I Met Your Mother ended on a horrible note, from what I understand. The last, because I never watched it, the last episode of How I Met Your Mother provoked much ire from people. From what I understand, people who were pissed off about how they wrapped it up.
I don't get how they did that, or I should say, I wasn't upset.
Okay.
I thought it ended, like, I'm a hopeless romantic, though.
Okay.
It ended the way I hoped it would.
All right, well, I never watched
it. But I do have a show, like, that one I was going to bring up no matter what, but the show that I thought ended too soon was Life.
Yeah, that was a great show. Wait a minute, who was in that show? That was Darian... The guy who's on Billions now, Damian Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Sarah Asahi was on that as well. Or that's her name.
Who?
On Life. Sarah.
I'm blanking on her name.
I'm blanking on the
It was a great
name.
Show, but, I mean, though. Yeah, it was a great show. I agree with you.
2 seasons.
Yeah.
At least they ended it so it could end.
Right.
Without, you know, questions, but...
There's another one that just came into my head, and that was Enlightened on HBO with Laura Dern, created by Mike White. I think one of the best shows ever. Nobody was watching it. It's like Crashing. Nobody's watching Crashing except me. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person in America watching that show right now.
As soon as I have some time this week, I'm gonna watch Crashing.
You should, man. It's really great.
You've said so many great things about it.
It's really great, and it's one of the most accurate portrayals of being a stand-up comedian that's ever been committed to film. But Enlightened was just this show that was way ahead of the curve. And Mike White, who I just think is a brilliant writer and a director, and Laura Dern, it's the best performance Laura Dern's ever given. And they knew, like, when they went into season two, they were lucky to get a season two. Like, I mean, because nobody was watching the show because it was weird and kind of depressing and really heavy and very spiritual. It was not like a light, it was billed as a sitcom. It had funny stuff in it, but it's really a serious show about a mental breakdown. This woman has like a mental breakdown. And then it became a movie became a show that was about fighting corporate stuff in the second season. And it was great. But they knew, Mike White knew that they weren't going to have a third season. So like you said, at the end of Life, they wrapped it up. Okay. And so Mike White, when they went into the second season, says, there's no way in hell we're going to get a third season. So let's wrap the story up right now so that there are no loose ends or anything like that. So it has a very satisfying conclusion. But still, it was only 2 seasons. That was a show that deserved more attention, Enlightened. All right, let's see. Here is Ike on WGN. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick, how's it going with you, man?
Good.
Yeah, this is the one that always pops in my head. I thought it was very relevant. It came out 2 years ago on Fox. It dealt with Chicago violence and new technology, and I think a little bit of Trump. It was a good show. APB.
APB, yeah, that didn't last very long. One of my friends was on that show. My friend Sandy Smiley was on that show.
Oh, awesome. I thought it was a good show because it really went back. It really felt like a throwback to those fun shows back in the 80s. And a lot of people say it was like a ripoff to RoboCop, but I thought it was his own animal. I thought it had a good concept. I thought it was very unfair.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ike.
No problem.
Yeah, APB. I was upset. I didn't see, I've never saw it, but I don't like it when my friends lose work. And I had three actor friends who were in that show, and so they were out of work. And I was like, well, I never watched the show, but they're losing a paycheck, and that's not cool. 312-981-7200. The topic is TV shows that were canceled way too soon. And here is Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Nicholas. How are you, sir?
All right, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you immensely.
Thank you.
As well as all the people that work for me. We've been listening to you for 10 years, and God bless you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that, Robert. Thank you.
And I'm serious about this. What did you think about Grimm?
I thought Grimm was pretty cool. I wasn't a regular viewer of it, but I saw some episodes of it, and I always thought it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, it's just, I believe that they, you know, I have no idea why. I'm figuring money was involved, but they cut it. I think it could have gone another season and could have been drawn out a little bit more clear.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem with that show was that nobody was watching it, Robert. That was the problem.
I love the show.
The problem, I think, with the problem with, you know, many of the reasons why these shows get canceled is because of the ratings. If they don't have the ratings, they immediately cancel it, even if it's a good show. Like, we've mentioned Freaks and Geeks now four or five times. That's one of the best.
No. And I understand that. It's just that in our society today, our politics, grim, is Trump all the way.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, people should have been, Robert, people should have been watching it. So they
were. You could have put Trump in everything. And again, whatever your politics are, it's just Trump could have been in there, and our society could have been in there every single step of the way.
All right, Robert.
Anyhow, God bless you,
baby. All right, buddy.
You.
Take care,
and
man.
All my mates in Australia do too.
All right. Take care, Robert. Robert getting all political suddenly. I try not to mention the T word on the show. I usually stay away from the T word. So, all right, let's see. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Hello. Hi. I want to talk about Joan of Arcadia.
I loved that show.
It lasted, I think, three seasons. At the end of the third season, this guy arrives in town, and he's either Satan or he's one of Satan's minions. And so she was going to go to battle with the devil in season four, and then there was no season four.
Yeah, and they canceled it. And I thought Amber Tamblyn was great on that show. I really did. And it was that was one of those shows that they left it on. I think out of courtesy, they gave it that third season, John, because the ratings were really low on that show. But yeah. I agree with you. I thought that show was terrific. It should have been on much longer.
Amber Tamblyn was great. The parents, Mary Steenburgen and Joe Mantegna, were wonderful.
Yep.
And her friends, too. They were a great cast. And, I mean, come on. I wanted to see her go to battle with
the devil. I agree. That's what's so frustrating about this, John. When some of our favorite shows, they cut us off and then that's it. It's like, wait a minute. What happened? So, all right, John. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. I can't believe I didn't mention this one already. This one is probably bigger than Wonderfall is the first one that pops into my head, but this one, the cancellation of this one is unforgivable, and that is My So-Called Life. My So-Called Life is such a great show. I mean, a really, really great show, and it got canceled after one season. And you don't know whether Angela ended up with Jordan Catalano. And if you've watched My So-Called Life, it didn't have a big viewership when it was on network TV. Nobody was really watching it. And the people that were watching it had a very, very, very passionate love for it, like me. A lot of the people that were watching that show loved My So-Called Life, like were kind of obsessed with it. And I was one of them. And I thought Angela Chase was just such a great character, and I thought Claire Danes was so great on it, and it captured teen life really, really beautifully. And that, you know, the whole struggle between her and Catalano, played by Jared Leto, was just fantastic. And I was emotionally hooked. And when it ended on a cliffhanger and they just canceled it, I was so angry. My So-Called Life. I was so, so angry when they canceled that show. But then it got picked up by MTV. Not new episodes. They didn't shoot any new episodes, but it got a whole new fan base. You know, a few years later, MTV started to show it, and it got a whole new fan base. And now there are even more My So-Called Life fans than there were before who are angry. So when they started showing it on MTV for that second life, it got a lot of attention. A lot of people who, you know, the MTV audiences started watching it, started loving it, and then they were upset that it was canceled as well. So that's like way near the top of the list of it got canceled way too soon and it shouldn't have been canceled. My So-Called Life, right near the top of the list. Okay, we got a couple of lines open if you want to jump in. Talk and text 312-981-7200. We are talking about TV shows that were canceled way too soon. And we'll come back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. Coming up, the stories that matter in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Vic Vaughn. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and we are talking about TV shows that got canceled way too soon. Like, for instance, My So-Called Life. God, I was so mad when that show got canceled. So let's get back to the phones. Here's Jeffrey on WGN. Hi, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I got four of them real quick. First, The Outer Limits. I don't read the original Outer Limits. The next one are The Munsters.
Oh, the Munsters had a pretty good run, Jeffrey.
They had 2 years, and that was it.
They were on longer than that, right?
No, they were on 64 to 66.
Wow, okay.
And then the other one, another 2 years, is The Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, and I love them. He just made me laugh. The original Jerry D. Bishop Spengoolie here in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he's great, but Rich is Rich Coase is continuing to keep that character alive. In fact, Jeffrey, this is his 40th anniversary doing Spengoolie. So Spengoolie is alive and well, my friend. I know Jerry G. Bishop did a different kind of a Spengoolie, and he passed away a while ago, sadly. But Spengoolie is still around, man. And Rich Coase shows no signs of slowing up. 40 years. And we're going to have a celebration with Rich. We'll get him on the show as he celebrates 40 years doing Spengoolie. Jeffrey, thanks for the call. All right, here's Dorothy on WGN. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, how you doing, Nick?
All right, what's up?
To begin with, good evening. Happy St. Patty's Day to you. I'm 87. I listen to you every night in
my
bedroom.
Appreciate it.
Oh, the stories I'm talking about is Jag. J-A-G.
Jag.
The one about the naval attorneys.
No, that was on a long time.
It was not really.
Oh, no, it was.
I watched it faithfully. David Elliott and Captain Bell.
Right.
And they went on to different stuff. One went on to Hallmark provisions, and Catherine Bell went on to The Good Witch. But it must have made some kind of an indentation in Hollywood, because then they came out with a movie called A Few Good Men about naval attorneys with Tom Cruise, Demi Moore, and Kevin Bacon. Well,
that was before Jag, Dorothy.
Right, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, many years before Jag.
Because Jag was on when my husband was still alive,
Jag was on, I think Jag was on about 8 or 9 years, Dorothy. I'm not exaggerating.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Okay.
No,
I'm going to look it up, but go ahead. You have another one?
Right. Yes, Flamingo Road with Morgan Fairchild, and I forget what the male lead was, but that was also about the Navy, and it was a very, very good program.
Okay. I don't even remember that one.
It was only on for like about maybe 7 or 8 months.
By the way, Dorothy, I just looked up Jag. It was on 10 years.
It was on
1995 to 2005. It was on for 10 seasons.
Oh, God, that's unknown to me.
Yeah.
I must let the time go by at 87.
Exactly.
But that was an awesome show.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome.
Take care.
A good night and happy St. Patty's.
Take care. Dorothy lost track of time. Yeah, it was on. I knew that show was on forever because I remember when it was on, you know, that it was like in the seventh season, because that's one of those TV shows, and we all have them. That's one of those TV shows that's on for like a really long time, and no one you know watches it. Do you ever see? No one I knew ever. Nobody watched Jag. Nobody I knew
watched
Jag.
Here and there,
I remember, you know, flipping around and it was on, and I'm like, how the hell is this show still on? Who's watching this show?
See, that part I agree with.
And then I remember when I understood. I'll never forget this. The show had been on for about 6 or 7 seasons at this point, and like I said, nobody I knew watched it. Nobody on my radar. We never talked about it on the show. You know who watched it? Ron Santo. It was one of Ron Santo's favorite shows. Was Jag. But anyway, I remember being online at Jewel, and they had, you know, like Maxim and Stuff. You know those cheesecake magazines. Well, I remember standing online, and I'm just thinking to myself, who watches Jag? Why does anybody watch this show? I don't understand this. And then I looked, and I saw Catherine Bell on the cover of Stuff magazine, and I go, oh, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and then I looked inside, and I went, now I know why people are watching this show. Maybe I ought to start watching it. So that was it. Catherine Bell, an attractive lady. And by the way, Ron Santo and Pat Hughes talked about JAG. We used to do this thing called the Pat and Ron Show highlight reel.
Okay.
When the Cubs were still broadcast here on GN, we would have people listen, you know, like Straight Out of Context and McD Show Spies. We would listen. They would listen to the Cub games here, and then whenever Pat and Ron did something really funny or had a very funny exchange, we would pull it and play it weekly. Okay. And then I'm telling you, it was classic stuff, like the stuff that we have. And I have hours of it archived here of Ron Santo and Pat Hughes just killing it in the booth. And they talked about JAG. And Ron was talking about how, you ever watched the show JAG? And then he mentions Catherine Bell. He's like, Catherine, you know, she's really attractive. And so Ron and I have the same taste in women. Let me just say that. So and I was like, so they start talking about it. And Pat is just like messing with Ron like he did a lot. So Pat Hughes goes, it's called JAG, and Ron goes, yeah, and he's like, why is it called JAG? Is there somebody on the show named JAG? And so Ron starts laughing. He's like, you know, like, is his name Larry JAG? And so the whole Larry JAG thing became a running gag on our show. Because we just like was there a Larry JAG? And Ron's like, and Ron kept getting like, because Ron would get upset when Pat would mess with him sometimes, like fun upset. And he goes, no, there's nobody named Larry JAG on the show. And he was getting really. But I just remember, I knew that show was on for a long time because that whole incident where I was at the checkout counter and then I went, oh, Catherine Bell, I get it. So anyway, all right.
Yeah, and it led to good things because that's where NCIS came from.
Yeah, it did. And NCIS on for about 50 years now. That show.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to call in and just say it. NCIS ended too soon.
It's still on. Law and Order SUV. That's where they drive around in a car solve crimes. That's the one.
I love that. That one.
SUV. The Law and Order SUV. They drive around in a big vehicle and solve crimes. All right. Oh, Law and Order SUV actually could be Scooby-Doo. That might be an alternate title for Scooby-Doo.
I like that.
All right. We got a break here. We got the news coming up and then more TV shows that were canceled too soon. 312-981-7200. Okay. News is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. That's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Who requested that? What was it again?
That was Horror Business by The Misfits.
Yeah. And
we can thank Tony from the 708 for that.
All right. There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we are talking about TV shows that got canceled way too soon. We got some phone lines open if you want to jump in. There are so many of them. We barely scratched the surface. And 312-981-7200 for talk and text with your choices for TV shows that were canceled way too soon. Here is Thomas on WGN. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Nick. How are you this evening?
All right.
This morning, excuse me. Key West. It starred Meg Till. No, Jennifer Tilly, not Meg Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly. Oh, okay. No, I don't remember that show.
It was on Fox.
Okay.
And she wasn't the lead. It was a male lead. He was like a kind of a squirrely guy from the late 80s, early 90s. He was popular for a short period of time. I don't remember the actor's name.
Okay. All right. And it was
Key West. It was kind of like a mystery. She played like a prostitute call girl, I guess you could say, was her role on the series. I think T.C. Carter was on there.
Wait, T.K. Carter was on it?
Yeah.
I love T.K. Carter, man.
Yeah, he's in this new series on Bounce that's kind of funky.
He is?
And there was another one out I was thinking of. It was another Fox show that they took off. That was only on, Key West was only on 13 episodes, but it was another like science fiction space show called Space Above and Beyond.
Mm. Oh, no, I know that show.
And it was on very briefly, too, and they kind of
I just looked up Key West, and it was the lead actor was Fisher Stevens,
right?
Yeah, he was the lead actor, and Denise Crosby was also on the show too.
Yeah, Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
It was on so briefly that I can't even remember the whole cast.
Yeah, 1993. It was only on, it was on the, just the one season, 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great show, though.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Thomas.
All right.
I like Jennifer Tilly. I enjoy Jennifer Tilly. Let's see. Here is Jason on WGN. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Nick. I got a couple of shows. One that rarely gets mentioned, it's called Brimstone. I don't know if you remember that. I think Donald Glover and Peter Horton, if I remember the names correctly.
Donald Glover from Atlanta?
I think he was in Smallville. He played Lex Luthor's father.
Oh, well, no, that's definitely not the guy I'm thinking of.
No, it may not, but yeah, he played Satan, and he was a very good Satan, and Peter Horton had died. He was a cop, but he killed the person who killed and raped his wife, so he went to hell, and the devil was pretty much going to commute his time in hell. So to speak, if he hunted down a bunch of escapees who had different abilities.
Yeah.
But, like, every day would be set for him, meaning he would, like, have the same clothes and the same amount of money in his pocket. And,
right.
And Satan would mess with him, you know.
It was on for one season. It was on in 1998 to 1999. Peter Horton, John Glover, and Lori Petty.
John Glover. Yeah.
Lori Petty was in it. And Terry Polo. That's a great cast.
Yeah, I thought it was underrated. Maybe it was ahead of its time.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's true.
The other one, which has probably been mentioned before, is Firefly.
Yeah, Firefly. Firefly's been mentioned like 800 times. That's the one that's at the top of everybody's list. Like Firefly.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
But at least we had the movie. So
you did have the movie. So yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay. I vaguely remember Brimstone. Vaguely. Let's see. Let's see. 630 area code says, did anyone else watch Outer Space? It was a Yahoo original a few years ago, and of course it didn't get a second season being a Yahoo original, but it was a super funny show. 847 area code says, the five Mrs. Bakers, Eileen Hackett and Swoozie Kurtz were on the show, among others. I don't remember that one. Okay, let's see. Joe is on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
All right, what's up?
I got a couple. Like 1979 and 80, this only aired for like 9 episodes before it got canceled. It was called The Associates.
Oh, I remember that show.
With Martin Short. That was one of his first, maybe
absolutely.
His first show.
Yeah, that was his first show. I absolutely remember that show. I thought that show was really funny.
Yeah, it was the same. I think it was a lot of the same people who work on the Mary Tyler Moore Show were writers on that show
as
well.
Yeah, that was a strong show. I totally forgot about that show. That was a really good show.
And B.B. King sang the theme song on that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was another one, like, in the 67, 68, I think it ran for a couple of years. It was called He and She with Paul Apprentice and Richard Benjamin.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Jack Cassidy was in that one, too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, but it was a good show, and I think it's another one that got canceled before it showed up. It was a pretty funny show.
Yeah. Richard Benjamin and Paul Apprentice were married, and they worked together a lot. Yeah, I don't remember He and She. I'll have to look that one up on YouTube.
Yeah, those are a couple of mine that I thought were canceled before they showed them in. So.
All right, cool. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Nick.
Take care, buddy. All right. 847 area code, Friday Night Lights. Well, Friday Night Lights had two lives. It got canceled, and then it was brought back. So that was one of those shows that, and I know people were very upset when they took Friday Night Lights off, because that was a terrific show. Mark the Breadman says, I was extremely upset when the Terminator series was canceled after 2 seasons. Jesse says, I was surprised and bummed when I heard that Fox canceled Pitch. Oh, I loved that show. I loved that show. The Pitch was a great show. Nobody watched it. I was like one of the only people that watched it. Jesse, you and I were the only ones who watched Pitch, but that was a terrific show. It was basically about the first female pitcher in the major leagues. And Mark Paul Gaultier was in it. It was a great show. It was really, really a good show. I love that show. And Fox canceled it. It was only on one season. Doc says, I hated when Boston Public with Shy McBride ended, especially with no advance warning or a series finale. Also, even though it was getting harder and harder to top itself, I wasn't ready for Nip Tuck to end. All right. Let's see. 773 area code says, you're right. You were right on Southland. It started on Fox and then went to FX because it was 2 hour rated, but it was an excellent show. 630 area code says, I loved Crashing. Pete Holmes' late night talk show was canceled too soon as well. Pete's great on screen. Yeah, I like Pete Holmes. I really do. So, let's see. Tom is on WGN. Hi, Tom. Tom?
Hello, how you doing?
All
how
right.
you doing?
All right, what's up?
I think it was only on for 2 seasons, but Soap with Billy Crystal and Benson?
No, that was on for a lot more than 2 seasons.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. It was on from 77 to 82. I just looked it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that had a pretty...
Nowadays, I don't even think that show could be on TV.
Yeah, well, at the time, they put... It was one of the first TV shows that I remember where they had a parental warning beforehand. It was one of the first shows that I remember. I watched it, and it was funny because, you know, when that show started, I was 12. And so... and my parents, of course, let me watch it, you know, because my dad took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8. So I would, you know, everything, all bets were off. But I remember being one of the only people in the schoolyard the next morning to actually be able to talk about it because nobody else was allowed to watch it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Take care.
Here is Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Did you watch Dallas?
What you mean back in the day, the JR? Because there was a reboot.
Yes, I tell you, Friday night, 8 o'clock, I don't care where we were, we would kill ourselves to get home. It was cold out, we'd jump in the waterbed, get warm, watch Dallas and see what JR was going to do next,
yeah,
and then get up and go back out again.
Well, that show was on for 13 seasons, so it didn't get...
We never missed an episode.
Well, it didn't get canceled too soon, that's what I'm saying.
Well, they tried to revive it, and JR in real life died, and they couldn't bring it back again because they had all new people on
right.
it. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, it was a completely different style. That the reboot,
yeah,
reboot was a completely different style. Okay, thank you, Linda. Here's the thing. If a show's been on for more than like 7 seasons, it didn't get canceled too soon. Dallas was on for 13 seasons. That doesn't fit into the category that we're talking about. We're talking about shows that got canceled too soon. So, let's see. 262 area code, Firefly, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Oh, yeah, man. Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell, who, by the way, will be at the Flashback Horror Convention this year. That was a great show. The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. was a great show. And then 262 area code says, and of course, Police Squad, please. Only 6 episodes of Police Squad. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant, it's one of the funniest shows ever. We talked about it before. It was the precursor to the Naked Gun movies. And it was one of the funniest shows in the history of television. I mean, it's truly one of the funniest shows in the history of television. You know, ABC put it on 8:30 at night on a Thursday opposite Hill Street Blues, which was the biggest show on TV in the early 80s, like by far. And so they canceled it after 6 episodes. But those 6 episodes are out there. You can get them on DVD, and they are 6 of the funniest TV episodes in the history of television. Like, really unbelievably funny. Peter Indicator also says Briscoe County Jr. Christina says, hey, Nick, I miss Jeremy Piven in ABC's Cupid. It was a great, fast-paced show. Strange Luck on Fox. Oh, I loved that show. Strange Luck. That was a terrific show. And that, I totally agree. That got bumped, I think, after 1 season. If you guys want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Chris in Elk Grove says, Ash vs. Evil Dead ended way too soon. I think especially how season 3 ended with the awesome car. I am grateful for 3 seasons, but we wanted much more. I wanted much more, too, and so did my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, who I've talked to her about this, but they knew season 3 was going to be the last season before, you know, when they went in. Dana told me that they knew it. But I would love to see Dana back on TV again on a regular basis because she's awesome and she's my future ex-wife. 847 area code says American Gladiators. Rick says Colucci's Department. I don't even remember that. Colucci's department. And police squad. It's nice to see police squad getting some love this morning. Because, I mean, it's really one of the greatest shows ever. White Collar what ended too soon. TV shows that were taken off too soon. Better Off Ted. The Norm Show with Norm MacDonald. Nikki Cox with Norm MacDonald and Nikki Cox was on The Norm Show. And then The Grinder. That's Canadian Bill. The Norm Show with Norm MacDonald was great. Great. Okay, I have a whole bunch of other examples here. We haven't even mentioned Arrested Development, which I know got another life on Netflix years later. But when Fox canceled Arrested Development, I mean, so stupid, really one of the most brilliant, smart, funny shows and original shows on TV. And I was really angry when they canceled Arrested Development. I was very thrilled when it came back to Netflix, but then I was disappointed with the Netflix version of Arrested Development. Not nearly as good. And even though they got everybody back, everybody came back, but it wasn't really as good. But those first few seasons of Arrested Development, first couple of seasons of Arrested Development are just brilliant. So, all right, we're going to take a break, and we want to hear more from you guys. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Phone lines, text lines are wide open. And we got a ton of TV shows we haven't even gotten to yet that have been canceled too soon. Which ones do you guys miss the most? Which ones hurt? Like when it went off the air after one season or a half a season or something, you went, oh, man. 312-981-7200, and we'll get back to that right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. That's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. That's our second song from The Misfits, and we'll get one more and then play some more. Right now we are talking about TV shows that were so good, but then they got canceled way too soon. The phone lines are open at 312-981-7200, and you can text in your thoughts, too, about your favorite shows that just got canceled way too soon. 312-981-7200. I've got one, Veronica Mars, with Kristen Bell. Really terrific sort of like a high school noir mystery series, and Kristen Bell was so great on it, and it clearly wanted to, you know, take the baton from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and kind of fit into that category. And I loved Veronica Mars. I thought it was great. It was on for two seasons, didn't really have ratings. I mean, the fans of Veronica Mars were very intense and loyal, but then it got a third season on the CW. It moved from from UPN to CW, or it became the CW. I just thought it was great. And then years later, they put a movie together. It was a Kickstarter-funded movie that I contributed money to. And then the movie turned out to be good, but not great. But there was sort of a sense of closure, because they made the movie. So, but that was that definitely fits into the category because Veronica Mars is a terrific show, and it was just I was really upset when they canceled it. 312-981-7200 is James on WGN. Hi, James.
Hey, hi, Nick. How you doing this morning?
All right. What's up?
Do you remember Gary? He pronounced it with his name was Gary Anderson, but he pronounced it with a G, and he had a TV show called UFO. It was back in the 1960s. It was kind of a competition with Star Trek, because Star Trek was kind of, as far as the sci-fi space fantasy thing, was kind of ruling the TV.
Yeah.
And he also created the, what did he call it, Super Animation, Marionation, the Thunderbirds, and Stingray.
Oh, he
and
did.
And Captain Scarlet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't remember UFO. I don't remember UFO at all.
Yeah, it was only on for like maybe one season, yeah. I think, and they canceled the show. But it was pretty interesting. I think that was gone too soon.
Okay, all right. I'll have to look for that one on YouTube or something. All right, James, thanks, buddy.
Okay,
all right, take care. One. There you go. That's UFO. Wow, I never heard of that one before. Here is John on WGN. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Nick. This is Rock Hard Friday, John.
What's up?
I misunderstood the concept. Okay. Anyway, the Dakotas, it was a Western series that was on for one season. It was widely watched, in my estimation, and it was a different type of Western because there wasn't really a good guy. There were marshals in the North Dakota area, but they weren't really good guys.
Okay. All right. So that's the Dakotas.
The Dakotas.
Yeah, that's another one that I've
seen on one season. Jack Eatham, who was a famous character actor.
Sure, I know.
One of the marshals.
Jack Eatham, great character actor. He was in a ton of Westerns.
Right.
Okay. The Dakotas. That's another one that I haven't heard of. I'm learning about a lot of new older shows this morning. That's
for sure.
Well,
this guy Jack Eatham, he played a deputy marshal, and he even threatened to shoot the marshal.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jack Eatham was a weird looking guy. He had crazy. He had crazy eyes. Jack Eatham.
He had one bad eye.
Yeah. He was an interesting guy. He was a great character actor. He actually ended up in Cannonball Run, the Burt Reynolds movie.
Right.
He's in Cannonball Run. So, all right, John, thanks for the call, man.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go. The Dakotas. Okay. How about Almost Human? This is one that just pops up. Among the long list of shows brimming with potential that was canceled by Fox before its time. And Fox has this reputation. You know, and it's not an unfair reputation. Fox has this reputation of canceling shows too soon. I mean, we mentioned Wonder Falls as being one of them. Arrested Development got canceled by Fox. Pitch got canceled by Fox. And these were all three of those are really terrific, terrific shows. But Fox has had little time in the early 2000s. The early 2000s, Fox had this reputation of jumping the gun on canceling shows immediately. Almost Human was a sci-fi buddy cop show packed with creative action scenes and quality CGI. A shunned human cop who hates androids, played by Carl Urban from Star Trek, gets teamed up with a new partner played by Michael Ealy for Barbershop, who also happens to be an obsolete android. These two outcasts are reluctantly paired up, and each episode throws a brand new case at them with interesting sci-fi gimmicks. It may sound cliche, but the show actually proved to be quite campy due to the performances and chemistries of the two leads. But it didn't last very long. Almost Human. That's a little bit similar to why am I blanking on the movie and then ended up being a TV series as well. It was James Caan and Mandy Patinkin. And it was an Alien Nation. Alien Nation. That was a TV show where a human cop was teamed up with an alien. And they were living in a world together, and then that was a movie, and then that became a TV show, too. I think that was only on a couple of seasons as a TV show. Very successful movie, though. So, okay, everybody hang on. We got a few lines open, 312-981-7200. We also have text lines that are open, too, and a whole bunch more titles here, 312-981-7200 for TV shows that were canceled too soon. News is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing this morning? It is a Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. That's all coming up. It's one artist, three songs, and get your requests in now. We'll play them in a little bit. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It is Pi Day because it's March 14th, 314. So we're going to talk about some Pi Day stories, including, you know, some pi math facts. And also some actual stories about pies that you can eat here on Pi Day. But right now we're talking about TV shows that were canceled way before they should have been and some people feel very intensely about that. And we would love to hear from you. What shows do you think were canceled too soon? 312-981-7200. Among the more popular ones so far were Firefly, Freaks and Geeks, My So-Called Life, I Said Wonder Falls, from a couple of seasons ago, Pitch from Fox, which I just thought was a great show that was unfairly axed. And that's what we're talking about here. 312-981-7200. Here is Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right.
The one, I got three of them, and one of them was Picket Fences.
Picket Fences that was a great show. But that was on for, I think, 4 or 5 seasons, Picket Fences.
Oh, was that? Yeah, that's what I don't remember, but it was a good show. Then the other one, Jennifer Beals, she was a policeman in Chicago.
Okay.
And they filmed a lot of it over by Northwestern University. That was really short-lived.
I don't remember. Do you remember the name of it?
No, I can't think of it. It was really short-lived, but they started getting into alderman corruption in Chicago. I go, oh, this is a great TV show. And then I don't know how long Early Edition was on.
That was 4 or 5 seasons, too, Early Edition. Yeah, that was on for a while.
That was a good show, but then he went on to a great TV show, Friday Night Lights. So.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
And do you think some of these shows were canceled because the actors wanted to move on?
Well, it depends on the, it depends on the season. Most of them get canceled because of ratings. If people aren't watching the show, then they're going to cancel it. That's why most of these shows get canceled. So,
but you're right on Fox. They do cancel a lot of them.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay,
by the way, the name of that show, Mike, was The Chicago Code. That was the name of the show with Jennifer Beals.
That was good.
Yeah, and it was only...
But it wasn't on long.
No, it wasn't. It was on one season.
Yeah. So, okay, thanks, Nick.
Okay, take care. Bye. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Gene on WGN. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Nice talking to you. Mine was The Royals. You ever watch that one? That was Donald Sutherland and Elizabeth Hurley, I think her name is.
That was on for the Royals. That was on what, E, right?
It was a cable channel. It might have been E.
Yeah, it was E. Yeah, I never watched that because my thing is I don't care about the royal family in the least.
Oh, but this was so good. It kind of made you wonder whether that was the kind of stuff that was really going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, I did watch The Crown. Which I really enjoyed. I watched The Crown because I got a thing for Claire Foy. That's the main reason why I watched The Crown.
I think that followed The Royals, and I never did watch that one. And then another one was, I want to say Revenge, Dallas, New Dallas. I never watched the original, but I did really like what they're calling
the reboot.
The reboot.
I got to tell you, I thought the reboot of Dallas was entertaining. I did. I thought it was entertaining. Yeah. And you just mentioned Revenge. Revenge was a great show.
I thought so, too. Oh. They didn't drop that, did they?
I think it was only on for a couple of seasons. I really thought that show was terrific. And it was. I think ABC canceled it after 2 seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because I felt the same way about it. And by the way, how do they determine whether people are watching any of these shows? I mean, I would like to call up or tell somebody, "Hey, I like this show."
They have different ways of doing it, but mostly it's the old Nielsen method where your house is chosen to fill out a Nielsen it's just a small portion of people who are watching, so it's not everybody. And they go by a couple of ways. They can measure. They can measure now, like through technology, to see what people are watching. Through the Roku TVs and stuff. But mostly it's the Nielsen. You fill out it. If you're chosen to be a Nielsen family, they send it to you. You fill out what you watch every night, and then you send it back, and then they count those ratings.
They never called me, Nick.
Well, they don't. It's a very small portion of people that you would talk to who became Nielsen.
Yeah,
happened. It happened one time with me and my folks. We were a Nielsen family for just one time.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Okay, Gene.
Well, thanks for listening,
care.
And I love your show.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Okay. See ya. Bye. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We're talking about TV shows that were canceled way too soon. How about Party Down? Party Down. It was a catering company of screw-ups based out of Los Angeles. They go from party to party. And Ken Marino was the lead. And Adam Scott was in it as well. And Lizzie Kaplan. It was on Stars. And it didn't last too long, according to... one of our favorites here, one of our writers. How about this? Let's go to, where are we going here? Let's go to Cecilia on WGN. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Nick. I love your show.
Thank
I've
you.
Just been listening about a year, and I got
so used to listening to Esmeralda with you and Dan. Sorry to see them go, but I love hearing you. The show I'm talking about, probably hardly no one's heard of, Ringer.
Ringer.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I
liked it. I used to watch it with my mom, who's no longer with me. We loved it because it was unique. I know that the storyline couldn't go too far. She basically had a twin sister.
Right.
And, you know, she was like an upper elite. I believe it was written by the same people as Gossip Girl.
It was. That's why I watched it, because it was written. It was the people who created Gossip Girl, which is one of my favorite shows ever. They created it. So that's why I watched it. I wasn't as crazy about Ringer as I was about Gossip Girl, but it was okay.
But I liked it because it was drama. I thought it could have lasted longer than some other stuff on TV. You know, that's the whole point. It's like,
yeah,
I can't believe the taste of some people who, I don't know, there's like crap shows that stay on so long, or just, you know, the regular.
I thought
it was great.
I'm completely, completely befuddled by how long Big Bang Theory has been on and how many people still watch that show. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I just find that funny. I watch it sometimes, but there was a show on that same network, because I think that was the CW, and I like her, Rachel Bilson, where she was the doctor, but I remember, I think that was on around the same time Ringer was on, and I was mad that Ringer was canceled, and that stood on the air for a few years, and I thought it was just, you know, predictable. She's a doctor, she goes to a small town, and then winds up, I guess, like, liking the town, even though she got fired from, like, her big New York gig. And
right.
I thought, it's predictable. The Ringer, to me, was just something that you hadn't really heard of, and it was interesting because she's with the husband, and he doesn't even know he's actually with the sister, the twin sister, and she's, you know, his actual wife has died, but they have chemistry. Yeah, so it was just interesting. But, yeah, that's my vote.
Okay, Cecilia. Thank you.
It's interesting hearing all the other choices. Thanks again. Take care, Nick.
Take care. Yeah, Ringer. Yeah, I totally watched that just because of my loves of Gossip Girl. totally my reason for watching it. Kathy is on WGN. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, good morning. Nick, two shows, they were on some time ago. Perhaps you can help me remember, too. I know I watched them every week. One was called Men in Trees. It was based in Alaska. I believe it was Anne Heche. And I loved that show. And another one, Sally Field starred in a show, I believe, called Brothers and Sisters. It was, she was like, you know, the mom and all the kids around and their stories. That one was actually
Brothers and Sisters was on for a while. That was on for about four or five seasons.
I don't know. I thought just a couple of seasons.
No, it was on for a while. Won a lot of Emmys. That was one of those shows that was like critically acclaimed. It won, my ex-wife used to watch it. She watched it all the time.
Yep. Yeah. I love Sally Field.
Yeah. And I mean, it won like a bunch of Emmys. And I'm trying to remember who created it, but I can't. Men in Trees was only on a season and a half.
Right.
Yeah. That was only on a season and a half. Wow. Yeah. And I do remember, I vaguely remember. I vaguely remember it, but yeah, it was on from 2006 to the beginning of 2008.
It was Anne Heche, right?
Yeah, it was Anne Heche.
Yeah,
Anne Heche was the star of it. So yeah.
Okay.
Thanks,
Nick.
Okay, Kathy, take care.
Bye bye.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Nick on WGN. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick. I got a few for you. Two cop dramas. First one, the earliest one, was called Brooklyn South. It was on right around 2000.
Yeah, I remember that show.
It was a great show. It was a Botchko. It was kind of like a follow-up to Hill Street.
Right.
But it had a great cast. John Tenney was in it, and Titus Welliver.
Yeah.
Yancey Butler. I mean, just a great show. Oh, James Sicking was in it. They threw him in there as a character guy. But then the other one was a real, if you like dark, deep dark, not at all likable cop dramas. There was one with Mark Strong and Lemmy James. It's on for one season in 2013 called Low Winter Sun.
I love that show.
I loved that show. It was, and I can't believe they canceled it. It was just so engaging.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, an honorable mention, was David Rashke's comedy, Sledgehammer. I think it was on a couple of
things. Sledgehammer got mentioned in a text a little bit earlier.
Oh, did it? Yeah, yeah. I didn't hear, but yeah, I like that show.
Yeah.
But Little Winter Sun, man, I was really bummed when they canceled that. I'm like, because I was fully engaged in that one.
Yeah, you know what the problem was, Nick? I think it was just you and me watching it.
Well, I don't doubt that, but it was dark, and I mean, the darker it got, the more intrigued it got.
I agree.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great show. All right, Nick, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, there you go. All right, let's take a break here for some weather. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in here. We are talking about TV shows that were canceled too soon. Here's your weather from the WGN Weather Center. For today, a wind advisory through 10 p.m. tonight, much warmer with a high of 68, mostly cloudy, periodic rain and scattered thunderstorms possible. For tomorrow, cloudy, windy, rainy, high of 43. For Saturday, partly cloudy, dry, but chilly for St. Patrick's Day's parade. Sunday, mix of clouds and suns for actual St. Patrick's Day, high in the mid-40s. Monday, few clouds, but mostly sunny with seasonable highs in the mid-40s. It's currently 55 degrees at O'Hare. It's 55 at Midway, 48 at the lakefront. Okay, let's take a quick break here. And more TV shows that got canceled too soon from you guys at 312-981-7200. That old tree spreading over my head is the closest friend I made. Just me and some lonely wood music blowing through the air. The grass is rustling and the birds are singing and my heart don't have a care. Still another day. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Here till 5 a.m. Coming up are the stories that matter in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Vic Vaughn. That's coming up in just a few minutes. It's Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Ben, who requested that, what was it?
John from Decatur asked for some Doobie Brothers this morning. Oh, so that was the Texas Lullaby.
All right, there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about TV shows were canceled way too soon, and we want to hear your thoughts. Here is Carl on WGN. Hi, Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
There was a cowboy show called Stony Burke. Pretty short run, and it starred Jack Lord and Warren Oates.
Wow.
And they were just starting, I think they were just starting their careers, and it was a drop-dead really good cowboy show, and I think it was in the 60s, and then they canceled it.
Wow. That's it. Well, you got Warren Oates. I watch anything with Warren Oates.
Yeah. Wow. And Jack Lord was good. I liked him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then there was another one. It was a comedy called Buffalo Bill.
That's Dabney Coleman. That's
right. And Gina Davis.
Yeah, fantastic show.
Oh, he was so gloriously obnoxious.
He followed it up. That got canceled. And then he followed it up with Slap Maxwell.
Yeah. Right.
Which wasn't quite as good as Buffalo Bill, but still.
But yeah, combined, he and Gina Davis were really great together because she was so naive.
Yeah.
he was such a creep. But anyway, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Carl. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Here's Mark on WGN. Hi, Mark.
Greetings from Cleveland, Nick. There is nothing wrong with your radio.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, The Outer Limits. That show, it only went on 49 episodes, but it became legendary. And it spawned, a new show in the 90s that was not nearly as good as went on for seven seasons, but the original is still the greatest.
Okay, yeah, somebody mentioned Outer Limits earlier, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
That's
but
okay.
Anyway, if I could, there's actually an Outer Limits Stony Burke connection because Leslie Stevens was the executive producer and creator of both series, and also Stony Burke featured Bruce Dern in several episodes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Okay, if I could mention one more show. Do you remember a thing from the 80s called Misfits of Science?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was sort of like a comedy superhero type thing.
Right.
Really cool, innovative show, but it was on against Dallas, so they only went one season. But it should have gone much longer.
Yeah, Okay, Misfits of Science. All right, Mark, thanks for the call.
Okay, have a great show.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Somebody mentioned the Terminator, but that was the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and that's a show that is mentioned as one that got canceled way too soon. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981. And here's this show called Action with Jay Moore and Buddy Hackett. It was a really, really good show. It was a behind the scenes like making of movies stuff. It was a Hollywood show, and it ended up on Fox, and it was supposed to be on HBO, and Fox got rid of it after 8 episodes. But it had like a ton of stars playing themselves in it because it was about the movie business. So like Sandra Bullock was in it, Salma Hayek, Keanu Reeves. David Hasselhoff was in it, but your lead was created. It was also created by Jay Moore, who appeared in it with Buddy Hackett. It was a terrific show, a really terrific show, and they killed it after 8 episodes. Again, Fox. 815 area code Fastlane, a great Miami Vice type show with Peter Facinelli and Bill Bellamy, canceled on a cliffhanger after 1 season. 815 area code says Network News with Jeff Daniels. That's Newsroom, the Newsroom with Jeff Daniels. Yeah, Sorkin wanted to end it, and I think Daniels wanted to move on to some other stuff. It lasted 2 seasons, but I think Aaron Sorkin, who created the show and wrote all the episodes, was like, yeah, I think I just need to end this. Maybe it was 3 seasons. 847 area code says there was a TV show about 2 seasons ago called Damien. It was a spinoff of the Omen movies. It was a good plot line. The actors, I thought, were well done, but it was canceled after 1 season. It was very disappointing. I remember that. Hi, Nick. The show that ended way too soon for me was Men of a Certain Age. That's from Sam. I totally agree with that. Men of a Certain Age, I loved that show. Ray Romano created it. It was Ray Romano, Andre Brower, and Scott Bakula. I thought Men of a Certain Age was great. That was the first time that I liked Ray Romano. I thought Everybody Loved Raymond was fine, but I didn't really, really start to like Ray Romano until that show. And it also helped that I was, you know, I had reached middle age by the time that show was on TV, and I could really closely identify with what these guys were going through, and it was kind of scary. But I loved that show, Men of a Certain Age. I wish it was only on 2 seasons. It was a great, great show. I just go great. All right, here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
This is a show that your dad probably watched. It was on in the early 60s. It was called T.H.E. Cat with Robert Loggia.
Oh, yeah. I know that show. Yeah.
Right. Robert Loggia. Terrific show. Crime show. But it was canceled probably because of the Kennedy assassination.
Mm.
But it did a full season. And you could probably get a couple of episodes on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think it is still out there. You can get it. You can get it somewhere. But yeah, that was an interesting. I remember that was an interesting show. Okay, Bob, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, and then we'll last call here is Eddie on WGN. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, Nick?
Nothing. What's going on?
Remember a few years ago on NBC, it was Revolution. It was about all the power on the planet went out. For some strange reason that they never fully explained,
mm-hmm.
and the intrigue of the show in the trailer was they were walking through Chicago. I think it was like 2015, and they're walking past Wrigley Field, and there was this overgrown brush
right
over the sign that said 2015 World Champions. You know, almost like the Back to the Future thing,
right?
The premonition.
Right.
And then they didn't win it, so they had to redo the thing. And it wasn't a great show, but the fact that they just cut it off, you know, after 2 seasons without fully explaining everything, you know, it died quickly.
Yeah.
And so you never got an explanation as to why it happened. That's the problem with some of these shows is when they get canceled and, you know, there's no resolution.
Right, there's no closure. Yeah, that's why people get upset. All right, Eddie, I got to hit the news. Thanks for the call.
All right,
there you go. All right, we got a bunch of texts here. I'll wrap up the conversation with some of the texts after the news, which is coming up next here on 720 WGN. right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we are here until 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 to 5 a.m., and that's Triple Play Thursday continuing. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. And with the Doobie Brothers, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're going to wrap up the conversation that we've been having about TV shows that got canceled too soon. Hey, Vic, did you ever get into a TV show that then it got canceled?
You know, I prepared one just in case you came to me, and yeah, it's one I'm watching right now. It's kind of old, Deadwood.
Oh, my God. I can't believe Deadwood wasn't mentioned.
Oh, good. I'm glad it wasn't. Deadwood is, I'm watching it now, and I think it's three seasons, and I heard that it got cut short preparing for the fourth. I don't know why.
I mean, HBO, and it ends on a cliffhanger, too.
That stinks.
But it's coming back, Vic.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. They're shooting. It's in post-production right now, and it's coming back on HBO.
The main character, his name is
Timothy Oliphant.
Is that the
actor. Timothy Oliphant is the... Unless you're talking about Swearingen, which is Ian McShane. Okay. Ian McShane.
Okay, that's what I'm talking... Is he in the... Oh, man.
Yeah. It's the weird thing is that...
You made my day, Nick.
Oh, seriously. And you know why? Because for years... That show got canceled like 10 years ago.
I've been busy.
Longer than that. I think it's been like 14, 15 years since that show got canceled.
Yeah.
And ever since it was canceled, people went nuts. You know, like fans of that show were like, how could HBO cancel this show? It's a great show.
Oh, man, it's still good because I'm watching it now.
It keeps getting better.
Oh, I'm so glad they're going to make another one.
The one thing that they're going to have to do, and I don't know what they're going to do about it, is I can't remember the character's name who owns the saloon.
Swearinger owns one, right?
The other guy is Powers Booth. That's the actor.
Yeah.
He passed away. So they're going to have to.
Oh, he was good.
He was a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to write around him.
No. Okay.
And here's another little thing about this, Deadwood, Vic, is our good friend Stephen Tobolowsky.
I know. I just saw him. He just made his appearance last night in the episode I watched.
He's so good on that show.
So good. I told Jeannie? He's friends with Nick.
he's on the show regularly, and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But here's a little tidbit. When you're watching it, there's a scene that Stephen Tobolowsky does where he is in...
bathtub.
He's in a bathtub.
I just saw it last night with a hooker.
Here's the crazy detail. You ready about this?
Yeah.
This is the story that Stephen Tobolowsky has told on this show before. Mm-hmm. That actress who he is in the tub with, playing the prostitute.
Okay, hold on. Now the episode I saw last night, she didn't actually get in the tub. So maybe there's another one I'm about to see.
Okay. Wait. She's giving him a bath, right?
You know what? I think this is the same scene. You go ahead.
Okay. The point is that there's a couple of prostitute scenes.
Yeah.
One involving a bathtub. The actress who is in who plays the prostitute in the bathtub scene is Powers Booth's daughter.
Oh.
Okay. Now wait. Here's more detail here. Stephen Tobolowsky and Powers Booth were best friends. They were roommates. Stephen Tobolowsky is the godfather of that girl.
You're kidding.
And used to change her diaper.
Oh, man, that must have been an awkward scene.
Oh, he said it was the weirdest thing he's ever filmed.
Oh, man.
And we said, and Powers Booth is on the set, too. You know what I mean? So it's like, so that guy, that's the story. You know, I don't tell the story as well as Stephen Tobolowsky does, because Stephen Tobolowsky is one of the greatest storytellers of all time. But the fact is that actress is his goddaughter, and he used to change her diapers and babysit for her.
That's dedication to your art right there.
Exactly right.
Wow. Thank you for that.
Yeah, but no, it's coming back, Vic.
Oh,
it's coming back. So
that's awesome.
All the Deadwood fans out there, we've waited for years and years and years for completion, but we're going to get it. And David Mulch, the guy who wrote, you know, and created the show, he's back. So it's the original writer.
I can't wait to go tell Cheney this, because we thought it's so great.
It is.
We got two more seasons to go.
No, it's good, but it took a long time. And I'll tell you something, as somebody who watched that show from the very beginning, when that show got canceled, the outcry, Vic, was massive, because it's such a great and original show. I'm really glad that you're watching it, and you're going to have less time in between. You know what I mean? When it comes back, I've had 12 years.
I just got lucky because we were looking through HBO. Eh, let's watch this. There's three seasons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey, fantastic. Fantastic. That was, it's, that's, to me, that show on HBO is second only to The Wire. Because The Wire is the greatest TV show of all time.
Yeah.
And have you watched The Wire?
I did on your recommendation. It's, I watched it all.
It's the best.
Seasons.
It's the best TV show.
When you told me that, I thought, well, it can't be better than NYPD Blue, because I was a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
When it still had the redhead actor.
Yeah, David Caruso.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When he left, I stopped watching. But yes, The Wire is better.
It's astonishing.
It's the characters, you know.
It is. And, it's
and then
the,
I watched Treme. Treme, is
yeah,
that it?
Yeah.
I watched that.
That's a great show, too, because of David Simon.
Yes, right.
I've had David Simon on the show three times. He's a genius. The guy is absolutely brilliant.
Is he making anything else? Or?
He is now. You know, he works a lot on... He's got one more show that's being developed right now at HBO, but
good.
Anything his name is on is good.
Jeez,
and The Wire, and I've said this many, many times on this show, and I seriously mean this. I mean, I'm prone to hyperbole, you know that, where I say everything is the greatest or the best, but The Wire is seriously the best show that's ever been on TV. Like absolutely seriously. I mean, it's an unbelievable piece of work. It was only five seasons. I can't say that it got canceled too soon, because, you know, it was David Simon's, you know, he said, we're going to close after five.
All right.
I was talking about it last week. We were talking about it off the air when Ernie was, engineering, here, and Ernie was wearing a Boardwalk Empire t-shirt. So we started talking about HBO shows, and then we got into The Wire, and once you start talking about a Wire, you start talking about The Wire with another Wire fan, that's 3 hours of conversation that's going to happen.
Right.
And so Ernie and I just started going off on how great the show was. And then we started talking about the character that Michael K. Williams plays, Omar Little, who is perhaps one of the greatest characters in television history and the best character on The Wire.
Yeah.
And we talked about the episode where they killed him off. And it just came out of nowhere. You remember when they killed Omar?
I do. I do.
And a little
remember
kid,
that.
Little kid shot him in the bodega.
Yes,
I almost fell off the couch.
I know. Yeah, me
I mean,
too.
Oh my God, that show. See, don't
so
get
good.
Me started. I can talk about The Wire until we can get Cochran can take a morning off. I'll talk about The Wire till 10 if you want. But yeah, no, Deadwood's coming back, Vic. That's a good choice too.
Outstanding.
All right, man. Let's get through the text and we'll wrap this up. And then we got some pie. It's Pie Day, so we got some Pie Day topics to jump into too. Have some fun with that. 815 area code says JAG was on NBC for 1 year and then it moved to CBS. Maybe the lady who called may not have known that it moved. Oh, I didn't know that. Now I feel like a jerk. I feel like a jerk because I kind of made fun of her because JAG was on for 10. I'm like, well, you can't get, but now I feel like a complete, I'm really sorry. Maybe she didn't know. That makes sense. I didn't know it switched. Let's see. 815 area code, Battlestar Galactica. Says Squat says I need help on some of these. How long was Northern Exposure on? Northern Exposure was on a few years. It was on a few years. Another show my ex-wife adored. Ren and Stimpy. Well, Ren and Stimpy, it's interesting. Ren and Stimpy had a rough go of it because, well, here's what it says. My memory says Northern Exposure had a good run. It did, but Ren and Stimpy was cut short by the relationship between John Chris Filucci and Nickelodeon management. Yeah, that's absolutely true. John Kay and Nickelodeon had a huge falling out because John Kay was, first of all, he's crazy. John Chris Filucci is crazy. But he was such a perfectionist that he was going over budget and over time on every episode of Ren and Stimpy because John Kay is a genius animator and he wanted it to be beautiful and weird and awesome. And it was. Ren and Stimpy, maybe the greatest cartoon of all time. I love that. I love Ren and Stimpy. But the show continued. That's the problem. The show continued without John Kay. They fired John Kay, the guy who created Ren and Stimpy, did the voice of Ren. They fired him and brought in a whole new set of writers, and the show dropped in quality. And, of course, the animation wasn't as good either because Nickelodeon, who wanted to rush John Kay through the episodes, finally got somebody that they could. And so the episodes were done in half the time, and they didn't look nearly as cool. And the writing wasn't as strong. But then John Kay came back a few years later and did an adult version of Ren and Stimpy where all of the sort of jokes that were meant for adults, because there's a lot of stuff in Ren and Stimpy that was really weird and really sort of borderline filthy, even though the show was, you know, It was on Nickelodeon, but it was an adult show. There was no question about it. So he did like an uncensored show, and it just didn't work because the part of the genius of the original Ren and Stimpy shorts is that he sneaks in this filthy stuff. You know, you have a 7-year-old watching it, and they're not getting it. It's going over their heads, but the parents are laughing their ass off on the couch behind them because there's this unbelievably dirty little joke in the middle of it. And, you know, my favorite Ren and Stimpy. Ben, did you watch Ren and Stimpy?
Oh, yeah.
My favorite one is called Sven Hoke, and that's when Ren's cousin comes to visit. And he turns out to be just as stupid as Stimpy. And they spend the whole day. Ren goes off to the office, which I love, too. I love it when Ren goes off to the office because he's got a briefcase, he's got a hat, he's wearing a jacket, no pants. Which
he
is, did, you know.
Did he have the pocket protector, too?
Yeah. So he when he comes home, he sees, like, the whole house is a mess, and he goes off on them. And it's one of the funniest, it is truly one of the hardest I've ever laughed at a cartoon in my life, is Sven Hoke. But yeah, no, that show it lost its edge when John Kay went away.
I have some answers for you, but first I'm going to tell you my favorite episode was with the Canadian kilted Yaksman.
Oh, please, yeah. And of course, the Pope, voiced by Frank Zappa.
Oh yeah.
What are we talking about here? So genius. Hold on those facts until we take a break. Okay. Right. I want to do the weather, and then we'll come back and we get a couple of answers to some questions that we had. We'll wrap up the. Conversation about shows that got canceled too soon, and then we've got a few Pi Day stories that we want to close the show with right here on 720 WGN. But here's your forecast for today. There's a wind advisory through 10 p.m. tonight. Much warmer with a high of 68, mostly cloudy, periodic rain, scattered thunderstorms are possible as well. Tomorrow, cloudy, rainy, high of 43. Saturday, partly cloudy, dry but chilly for St. Patrick's Day's parade. And Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs in the mid-40s. And Monday, a few clouds but mostly sunny with a seasonable high in the mid-40s. It's currently 55 degrees at O'Hare. It's 55 at Midway and 48 at the lakefront. All right, quick break here. We'll come back, wrap up the whole, get a few answers to some of the things we were talking about, and wrap up all the TV shows that should have been stayed longer. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Thursday. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah, man. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's the Doobies. We've got some Pi Day stories that we're going to get to. We also have a Blackhawks Express to play back that we are going to play back on, with a game that should not have been as close as it ended up being. That third period should not have been as suspenseful and nerve-wracking as it ended up being. But they got the win, and we will hear the Blackhawks Express coming up in just a little bit. But we were talking about TV shows that got canceled way too soon, and got a bunch of texts and calls from you guys, and we appreciate that. But we want to wrap it up. Now, Ben was saying that he had some answers to some of the stuff that we were talking about. What did you find out here?
Vic stepped away from the desk, but Deadwood was on until 2006.
So that's how long we've been waiting. We've been waiting for that long, 13 years.
Yep. And then from right before the break, Ren Stimpy was on from 91 to 96, and Northern Exposure was on from 90 to 95.
So
5 years.
Yeah. Now, as far as Ren and Stimpy, 91 to 96, around the end of 92 is when the trouble started.
Yeah.
It was a good, you know, it was a good 3.5 seasons of either John Kay being of John Kay being fired and the show running without him. So I remember, here's the thing, when I first saw Ren and Stimpy, it was at an animation festival, and they were screening it for the critics. It was these animation festivals that now, you know, show up at the Music Box Theater or at the Landmark Century Theater. And it's a whole bunch of animated shorts that they've put together as a festival. So what you get is, you know, it's hit or miss because some of the shorts are great, some are bad. And they would do this animated, you know, festival all every year. And so in 1990, they screened it, and it was in the fall of 1990. And the final short, and it wasn't a very good festival. There were more bad shorts than good shorts in this animated festival. I remember sitting in the screening room with the critics, and we're all there, and I was sitting next to Dave Kerr, who, for my money, is the best film critic in the country, and he used to write for the Tribune and the Reader, and at that time he was writing for the Trib, and he was sitting next to me. And all of a sudden, we got a they gave us a program too, like the PR people who were running the festival gave us a program that had all the information and the credits for each of the shorts. So all of a sudden, the very first episode of Ren and Stimpy was called Big House Blues, and that's where they get captured by the dog catcher and they get thrown in a cell. Mm-hmm. And that's what and they deal with what's happening while they're being confined. So, the final short on this fall of 1990 short was Big House Blues, and I'd never seen anything like it. And I was on the Dave Kerr and I were on the floor laughing during it. And the animation was so weird and so beautiful, and it was so wholly original and completely insane. That when it ended, we were just like beside ourselves. And I immediately went to the guide and I looked for it. Mm. And it said, you know, gave the credits. And it said, soon to be a television show on Nickelodeon.
Oh, wow.
So this was in the fall of 1990. Now, I'm telling you this because this is back when we used to have, you know, the TV guide. The actual physical TV guide. The book, the TV guide.
Uh-huh.
So every week when I got the new TV guide, I would scan Nickelodeon for the names Ren and Stimpy just to find out. The damn show didn't premiere till August of 91. So for almost a year, I was obsessing over everything that was on Nickelodeon, and it didn't premiere until August of 1991. And then I just, you know, back in the VHS days, I taped every single episode of it. And it was just insane. But yeah, that's how I first came across Ren and Stimpy. Never heard of it, didn't know what the hell it was, and it was at an animation festival. Crazy. All right, let's get back to wrapping up the TV shows that got canceled with a whole bunch of people who are texted in. Donna says Moonlight is a vampire detective show, and Alex is now on Hawaii 5-0. Uncle Gary says Howard Stern's Son of a Beach, which was a parody of 90210. It only lasted two seasons. 815 area code says it was a great one-season scripted football drama on ESPN called Playmakers. It got canceled after one season due to pressure from the NFL. 630 area code says The Green Hornet. 906 area code says BJ and the Bear. 630 says two words, Dark Angel. I'm actually surprised Dark Angel didn't come up earlier. The Black Donnelly starring a young Olivia Wilde was canceled too soon. Oh, I remember that show. Aileen said, I really liked Off the Map on ABC. I may have been the only person who watched it. I think it was called Surviving Jack, and it was with Christopher Maloney. He played a very strict father, and it was based in the 90s. Christopher Maloney is currently on the craziest show on TV, though. He's on a show called Happy on FX, and it is... Well, no, Sci-Fi. It's on Sci-Fi. It is one of the craziest shows I've ever seen. It's completely insane.
It's awesome.
It is. Oh, it's fantastic.
I got you and I talked about it. I got through two episodes the other day.
It's a crazy animated character that's voiced by Patton Oswalt, and the stuff that Christopher Maloney does in this show. By the way, it's from one of the directors who created the movie Crank. So you can tell it's the Crank movies these guys came up with. Werewolf on Fox, also Morton and Hayes, which was created by Rob Reiner, came too soon. Alien Nation did end too soon. I love that cast. That was back when Fox was canceling everything quickly that was not named Married with Children. Eric in Geneva said, Nick, I couldn't believe it when MASH got pulled. I'm just kidding. 7262 area code says, Almost Human sounds like Holmes and Yo-Yo. Thank you for bringing up Holmes and Yo-Yo. I appreciate that. Dear Nick, how about Cop Rock? Cop Rock, come on, man!
Uh-huh, yeah.
Cop Rock? You're upset that Cop Rock got canceled? It was a cop show that had musical numbers in it. One of the most ridiculous shows in the history of television.
Yeah, but it was amazingly ridiculous.
It was so crazy. Scorpion, that show was on a few seasons. Scorpion? It was all those smart people doing smart things and defusing bombs.
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick and what's-her-face, the very attractive singer who was on American Idol.
You lost me at American Idol.
McPhee, Catherine McPhee. She was a contestant on American Idol. Hey, Nick, I love your show. My choice would be The Green Hornet, which got mentioned a few times, and Time Tunnel. So there you go. People feeling very passionately about shows that got canceled too soon. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we got some Pi Day stories to talk a little bit about, to bounce around. And we got a Blackhawks Express before we get out of here at 5. All right, news is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I feel bad because the person who requested Santana is not going to get to hear three songs. They're only going to hear this one.
Yeah, but it's a really good one.
It's a great song. Santana rules. As long as it's not that damn smooth song.
I love that.
You love that song? I can't stand that song.
Out of the three, she's sitting there telling me, play smooth, play smooth. I was like, no.
It's such a good one.
Oh, I hate that song. That, by the way, tell everybody who you are again. And
Go on.
She's been here
Hello,
all
everyone.
Show.
Hello, everyone. This is Vivian Leneux, new producer here at WGN.
She's a new producer at WGN. She's been sitting in shadowing Ben. She's producing the show four times next week. Vivian, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Nick.
It's nice to see you. I'm sorry that we disagree on Smooth, because that was a song that every time it came on the radio, I wanted to put a gun in my mouth.
I just love the guitar.
Yeah. Well, he's a great guitar player. I just can't stand what the hell? Rob Thomas, what is his band? Maroon 5 or...
Yeah.
Is it Maroon 5?
Yeah, I think it is.
No, Maroon 5 is... isn't Maroon 5 what's the tattoo idiot from the Super Bowl? who's on the Voice? Levine.
Adam Levine.
He's Maroon 5. I'm talking about Rob Thomas. He was in one of those other. He's the lead singer on Smooth. What the hell was the name of his band?
Matchbox 20.
That's what it was. Okay, Matchbox 20.
Wait, of course Vic would know that. I mean the. Yeah,
the president of the
Bare Naked Ladies fan club, president over here.
Oh, VP of the Nickelback fan club.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, who requested it?
That was from the 815.
815 area code. I apologize for...
And reinforced by Vivian.
Yes, reinforced by Vivian. Okay. All right. It's Pi Day, all right, and that means it's because it's 3/14, so it's Pi, and we have some must eat pies in Chicago. So if you want to celebrate Pi Day by actually eating a pie, we have some suggestions. Now earlier, Ben, you said that if you were going to eat a pie today to celebrate Pi Day, you're a banana cream guy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I enjoy the banana cream. Have you been to Baker Square, I'm assuming?
I have one of the only ones left in Chicago right by me.
Really? Foster in Harlem? You live at Foster in Harlem?
No, out in the suburbs.
Oh, you live in the suburbs?
Yeah.
Okay, because Foster in Harlem is still going.
Yeah, yeah, the one out in Palatine's
there are a few more, but,
on Western.
It used to be called Poppin' Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was called years ago, and then they changed it to Baker Square. But they basically have been doing the pie thing and having the variety of pies. Now, there's a pie that's pretty exclusive to Baker Square that's the pie to go to. It's the French Silk.
Yep.
The French Silk is the best pie at Baker Square.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great pie. But we've got some other pies that you can celebrate with on Pi Day. The First Slice Pie Cafe. First Slice Pie Cafe. There are locations in Ravenswood and Albany Park and Andersonville and Evanston, so you can go to a few of them. Ravenswood and Albany Park, not very far from where I live, so that's pretty good. Though the chocolate peanut butter is the shop's best seller, Food and Wine selected First Slice's apple pie as one of the best apple pies in the country. The cafe also has a charity component, so eating all that pie goes for a good cause. You guys have a favorite pie in the city of Chicago? Where do you guys go to get your pie? I mean, obviously, as far as chain goes, you go to Baker Square, you get yourself French Silk or whatever they've got going. But are there certain places that you go to get pies that you say are fantastic in order to celebrate Pi Day? Vic, you seem to be ready to jump in here.
Because I feel very strongly about it.
Okay.
Bockwinkel's coconut cream pie. Delicious.
You know what? I've never had that. I love coconut cream pie, though.
And the truck driver that brings them, there's a listener. So if you're out there, thank you for bringing those to Bockwinkel's.
So that's Bockwinkel's. Where's Bockwinkel's?
Well, the one I go to is in the basement of my building that I live in here on, it's on Harbor Drive.
Okay.
Love it. All so right. Good.
Bockwinkel's coconut cream pie. Coconut cream pie is good.
You know, they used to only sell them in slices at this Bockwinkel's, but because I buy them so often, they now have a whole one ready for me when I come, come in.
So you single-handedly changed how they're serving pies at Bockwinkel's. All right. There you go. Anybody else have a favorite spot to go to for pies so we can celebrate Pie Day this morning? How about Deflowered? Those with special dietary restrictions don't let it stop them from enjoying pie. Deflowered caters to guests with celiac disease by making all of their products gluten-free. The pies, which must be ordered a week ahead of time, are available in options like apple, cranberry, and pumpkin. So that's Deflowered. So specifically for people with celiac, like our old like our good friend Steve King, he could go there. And I wonder if he has been there. I wonder if he's been there or ordered from Deflowered. Baker Miller, after splitting from Bang Bang Pie in 2014, Dave and Megan Miller created Baker Miller. Their blueberry pie, when available, is a must-have. It's the best. For Thanksgiving, the shop will have traditional apple, pumpkin, and pecan offerings, as well as chocolate chess pies. And again, these you know, we're talking about these this article where a lot of this stuff is accompanied by a picture. And let me just say that the pictures of these pies look fantastic. Blue Sky Bakery and Cafe. Blue Sky Bakery and Cafe over in North Center. This socially conscious, not conscious nonprofit provides employment to the homeless and at-risk youth. Try the selection of mini pies made with local produce like dark chocolate pecan. And again, that looks fantastic. It's a mini pie, too, so you can eat the whole damn thing and not feel guilty. Sweet Mandy Bees. Sweet Mandy Bees. This charming Lincoln Park shop dabbles in just about every sweet treat imaginable, pies included. Folks can order whole 9-inch pies with fillings such as banana cream, apple, cherry, or chocolate cream. And that's Sweet Mandy Bees. They have a heck of a selection at Sweet Mandy Bees. I've never been there, but that's in Lincoln Park. And again, guys, if you want to jump in here with your with a place where you like to get your pies, 312-981-7200. All right? Floreal Bakery and Cafe. European-style pastries don't get much more decadent than what's coming out of here. Owner Sandra Hull, who honed her skills at Green City Market before opening this acclaimed cafe, we'll be cranking out miso pie, pecan, and pumpkin with brown sugar meringue pies, and that'll be coming out for Thanksgiving, where you can get your crazy pies there. So, yeah. 312-981-7200. Bang Bang Pie and Biscuits. Bang Bang was mentioned before. There are two locations, one in Logan Square and one in Ravenswood. If it's available, you should snap up the honey pie with lavender sea salt. Also, grab one of the classics, like the chocolate pecan inside a graham crust. And then Spinning J, another highly recommended pie place to get some pie. Spinning J capitalizes on nostalgia in Humboldt Park, and visitors will feel like they've stepped through a time warp with the soda fountain atmosphere. Even during Chicago winters, it's okay to order apple, raspberry, or pear pie a la mode. Those are just classic flavors. The shop is best known, has been known to use hibiscus and lemongrass in even more creative ways as well. So there you go. Those are just some suggestions. And one more here before we break for weather and the Blackhawks Express. Who's Your Mama Pie Company? Who's Your Mama? And it's Hoosier as in Indiana, but it's Who's Your Mama. The flaky and buttery crust is the star of one of Chicago's finest pie purveyors. The wide selection changes seasonally, which means that there's always something new. Fillings range from the traditional apple and banana cream to passion fruit meringue and chocolate chess. So there you go. Who's Your Mama? Lots of great places to get pie in this city and to celebrate Pie Day, which is three 3.14, which is 3.14, which is today. Okay, let's take a quick break here, and after the break, we've got a Blackhawks Express that you will hear from a very exciting game last night, and that's coming up after this. Chicago!
Maple Leafs since their home opening overtime loss back in October. Tonight the Hawks will need to show up on time as they invade Toronto ice looking for their fourth straight win and a little revenge. They should expect a surly bunch of Maple Leafs who were humbled here 6-2 a couple of nights ago. And boy, they'll be ready to play. Morgan Riley blocked it with his skate. Brandon Saad took it behind the net. Sets up Keith at the right point. To Saad, top of the right circle. Caught it in his skate, kicks it to his stick. Moves it to Keith. He fires from the left circle. He scores! Duncan Keith with a howitzer of a shot. And it sneaks through the equipment of Anderson and trickles just over the goal line. And with 16:41 left in period number one, it's 1-0 Hawks. Here's Gustafson, Hawk line, right wing side to Strome over the leaf line to Perlini. Cuts into the high slot, rips it in on goal, he scores! 6 goals in 6 games for Brendan Perlini. And the Hawks lead the Maple Leafs now 2-0. Boy, Brendan Perlini has got the hot stick. And Anisimov poke checks it ahead. Here's Kane to center ice over the leaf line left wing. Down the slot, here's Cahoon, shoots and scores! Dominic Cahoon! A perfect feed from Patrick Kane for the left wing boards. Cahoon broke in behind the defense and beat Anderson under the glove with a wrist shot. It's now 3-0 Hawks. Here's Saad along the left board to Jonathan Toews through center ice over the leaf line. Toews along the left wing board, scoops it down to the corner. Sakura got it, put it in front for Saad. He should be scored! Brandon Saad with a backhanded shot. He was standing all alone at the top of the leaf crease, and Sakura hit him with a perfect pass from near the left wing corner. Saad caught it on the forehand, went to his backhand, and beats Anderson with 1:14 left in the first. It's 4-0 Hawks. Sent across by Muzzin. Here's Perlini into the leaf zone to bring it down the slot. Shoots and scores! The Cat fires it into the top right corner. It's over the glove of Sparks, and it's 5-0 Hawks with 7:28 left in period number two. Now a shot from Riley from the left point. This deflects home. They score. Riley took a pass, and in one motion just stroked it toward the Hawk net. It deflected past Crawford. So unfortunately, Crawford loses the shutout here. And it's 5-1 in favor of the Hawks with 1:33 left in the second period. Hainsey slaps it back down in behind the Hawk net. Nylander's got it there, fed it in front. Look out. And a big shot from in front of the net by Janssen. Turned wide by Delia. Then they score. Austin Matthews cleaned up the garbage. Poked it over the line past Delia, who made it a brilliant initial first save. But the rebound slipped through him, and Matthews pokes it home. And it's now 5-2 in favor of the Hawks with plenty of time left. 12:03 left in the third. Matthews at center ice on the left wing. Takes a pass from Riley over the Hawk line down to the half boards. Drops it back to Riley left point. He'll walk it to the deep slot. To Matthews, top of the left circle. Back to Riley. Shoots and scores. So it's a power play goal for the Leafs. And they make things interesting with 9:05 left in the third. It's now 5-3 Hawks. Gustafson waves the puck behind the net to Keith, who drives it around, but kept in by the Leafs. Marner along the right boards to Tavares beside the net, trying to jam it in the short side. He does. He scores. Well, John Tavares, who had a hat trick against the Hawks in the Hawks' home opener back in October, scores to make it 5-4 in favor of the Hawks with 91 seconds left in regulation. Kept in by the Leafs. Riley right point to Kasri. He moves it into the right circle to Marner, who slaps it over the Hawk net, and the Leafs have run out of time. The Blackhawks have won 4 straight games. They avenge the home opening loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They win here in Toronto 5-4, but they had to hold off the Leafs near the end to get it done.
Yeah. Like I said, they didn't have to make it that that exciting. You know? You had a five goal lead, man. The game shouldn't end 5-4. But they won. That's the important thing. They've won. They've won 4 in a row now. They pick up 2 points. and they continue on. And on Saturday, they will be playing the Habs in Montreal. And it's an early puck drop. I think it's a 6 o'clock puck drop, if I'm not mistaken. So stay tuned for that. Getting down to the wire here, man. And they're still in it. They're still in it. We'll see what happens. But they still have a chance, making things very, very exciting. Hey, a few facts here about pie. Today is Pi Day. And that means celebrating math and 3.14 and all of that cool stuff. So I got a few facts here. The symbol for pi has been used for over 250 years, the symbol was introduced by William Jones, an Anglo-Welsh physicist in 1706, made popular by mathematician Leonard Euler. Since the exact value of pi can never be calculated, we can never find the accurate area of circumference of a circle. So, speaking of pi, have you ever seen the Ben, you ever see the movie Pi? Darren Aronofsky's first movie?
Wow, that's a blast from the past.
It's an older movie. It's over 20 years old. Like 22, 23 years old. Here's my experience the first time I ever saw that movie. Now, you know how weird that movie is.
Yeah.
You know how weird many Darren Aronofsky movies are.
Mm-hmm.
Pi is a very strange, like, really out there movie. Shot in black and white, real low budget. About a couple of dudes. It's about math. It's surreal. It just goes into a different world.
Yeah.
It's just a really unsettling, very strange movie. So the first time I saw Pi, it was one of the many Thursday nights my friends and I would go to Bruin View. Every Thursday night, we'd go to Bruin View every Thursday night at midnight to see Dazed and Confused. If you wanted to know where my friends from the Factory Theater and I were on a Thursday night at midnight, you could always find us at Bruin View, because we went, and I'm not exaggerating, we went every week at midnight on Thursday night to see Dazed and Confused. And so you know Dazed and Confused.
Yep.
Okay. So we went every Thursday. So we'd go get a bunch of pitchers of beer. We'd usually show up, you know, maybe see the last like half an hour of whatever the 10 p.m. movie was. We'd get settled in. We'd drink some beers. We'd feel, you know, we'd feel pretty primed when Dazed and Confused would come on. And again, this is a movie that my friends and I have seen. I mean, I've seen Dazed and Confused. It's well into triple digits, the amount of times I've seen Dazed and Confused. And that's not an exaggeration. It's the truth. So one night we're there to see Dazed and Confused, and we're primed. We're ready to go. We're psyched up. We're in that beer-soaked, Dazed and Confused mood. We are ready to recite the dialogue along with Wooderson and all the other characters. And there's an announcement after the 10 p.m. movie ends. And the announcement is, you hear the guy on the PA say, ladies and gentlemen, due to a mix-up, we will not be showing Dazed and Confused tonight. So, boo!
Wow.
People start booing.
Yeah.
People start booing, and they're going nuts. And they're like, if you would like, we'll hand out, you know, you get a return ticket and come back next week for free if you pay it already. And so, but instead, we will be premiering a film called Pi. And so people are like, what the hell? And so 90% of the audience leaves. And I go, I'm going to stay. I'm here. We'll see what's going on. So me and about four other people stay. Everybody else leaves. And now we're down to maybe 20 people in the theater. And it was packed it was always packed for Dazed. So now keep in mind, we're ready. We're a little sauced up, and we're ready for Dazed and Confused. And then Pi starts. Now you've seen Pi.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was just like, this is the weird, because it is an insane movie. It's insane. So when you're a little tipsy and you're ready for Dazed and Confused, and Pi comes on, I remember I had no idea what was happening. I was freaking out. Three of my friends left. I can't watch this anymore. What the hell's happening? And then they ended up leaving, but I stayed for the whole thing. I made it all the way through. And now, Pi is a crazy, weird, surreal movie, even if you're not drunk, ready for Dazed and Confused. But if you're drunk and you wanted to see Dazed and Confused and you're psyched for Dazed and Confused and you see this crazy, surrealistic, low-budget black-and-white movie about weirdos and math.
Oh, man, that's apocalyptic.
I swear to God. I thought I was going to come out, and I thought I'd leave the Vic Theater, and everything would be blown up. I'd be like, what the hell is that? So I had to see it when it finally came out. It came out about a month later, so it was a premiere.
Yeah.
Came out about a month later, and I'm like, well, I can't fully review this on the air, because I was reviewing movies, obviously, because my experience with it was so unusual and weird that I have no real opinion. So I went to go see it under different circumstances, like, sober and not wanting to see Dazed and Confused and knowing it's going to be how weird it was. And I still, it's a terrific movie, but that first time seeing it, I don't wish anybody under any circumstances to see that movie like that. So anyway, all right. So, celebrate math, celebrate pie, have a piece of pie and have some fun. We're going to take a break. We'll be back tomorrow for all the regular Friday features and more. That's all coming up. But first, let's take a break. Okay, that didn't work. Okay. That's all right. We're out of time anyway. It was just a promo. So there you go. You listen to the Hawks. I believe that's what the promo was for. Listen to the Hawks. So anyway, it didn't work. I pressed the button. Nothing happened. So that's good. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, all tomorrow night. We'll also celebrate some St. Patrick's Day. We're going to do some Irish-themed topics as well. So stay tuned right now. Thanks for listening. The opening bell with Steve Grzanich is next.